Hey, we got numbers.
I'm ready for it now.
All right, Cleveland Motor Podcast, we're here to episode number 458. Light them up, boys. Fucking hell, that was good. You guys stood up. Like, that was well done. Anybody who took the time to wait, I appreciate it. The listeners at home do too, because they just got, like, straight up.
Yep.
Yeah, that was good. They got the show. To my immediate left.
Dan Kramke.
To his left.
Greg Castillo.
Master of mini bikes. To his left.
Steve Pizza Sleepy.
And to his left.
Johnny Mac and Cheese.
And to his left.
Pete.
Pete the fireman.
It got me tickled, Dan.
You did. Fucking dropped a little.
I wasn't waiting for that.
A little morsel of comedy. You weren't ready for it.
Fire Marshal Pete.
Right. Hey, kids. To his immediate left.
Mark Adams.
And behind the bar today.
Tom Pennington.
It's Pi Day 3.14, which means every pizza, the extra pizza is $3.14. Unless you order it online from Papa John's, in which case you'll wait an hour for the pie that you paid full price for anyway.
It was fantastic.
I'm glad it was delicious because they're just the hate in that little cubicle that is Papa John's. Everybody coming in there is like, you're here. And they're pointing at empty pizza boxes. You're here. And I was like, I'm not fucking there, man. My info pizza tracker says that my pizza's ready.
Well, we did have a casualty.
Yeah.
Smith was like, no pizza.
There's no pizza worth this.
Yeah.
No. I'm out of here. All right. So the reason we have so many extra people in the podcast today is our guys just got back from South Carolina's backcountry adventure, right? Mm-hmm. This map that's up here looks challenging. There's not a straight fucking road on it. It looks amazing. Fantastic. How many miles were you guys able to put on the motorcycles?
It's about 1,200.
Yeah, 1,200.
Over how many days?
Five or six.
Yeah.
It's well, we drove down on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We had a truck and a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
We parked the trailer in Rock Hill, which is just south of Charlotte. And then that first night, we offloaded after driving 8 hours and rode about 100 miles that first day.
Yeah, something like that.
And then, so that was day one.
Very cool. What were your accommodations?
Well, that first night we were in
that was a shithole.
I'm not sure if it was a crack hotel or a meth hotel or.
It was probably something really nice.
I'm not going to name the place, but I've been in cleaner woodsheds.
Wow.
I can share pictures.
Yeah, well, everything, so we're going to put...
It was horrible.
We post all the stuff up on Cleveland Moto Podcast. So if you have photographs, put them up on Cleveland Moto Podcast, you know, just to let the folks at home know what you guys suffered through. Because, no shit. Not so great, huh?
Just that first night.
Just the first
hotel. Because we had booked it in advance, and we just showed up, but we didn't really care. Because it had already been a long day, and we got to the hotel, and we rode in the rain that day, too, so we were a little... A little damp when we got there. All we wanted to do is get some food and get some sleep. And then we got up the next day and everything was good. And I dumped my bike on the way down there. Because red South Carolina mud and sand. And it was a little goopy, a little slippery. Uh-huh. And I was still getting my sea legs. You know, the bike hadn't been out of the garage much. Hadn't done much adventuring.
Right.
Yeah. That's the reason we chose South Carolina. Because the weather there is much more dependable in March than it is in Ohio. But that was really the only incident, I think. Wouldn't you guys say that?
Well, there was Dave trying to go through the bridge that was closed.
Was that the same day?
And then, the first day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he roostered you when you're trying to help him.
Oh yeah, that wasn't fun.
He had his the bridge. It said road closed, bridge out, whatever. But they basically, I think they even just repaved the bridge.
Yeah, the deck was there.
And then they had signs that said you couldn't go through. For a car, obviously, you couldn't.
Right.
But for bikes, we were going, you know.
Yeah.
We made it to the other side, but they had two bulldozers blocking. So Dave's trying to go around the one bulldozer, and where the bridge ends, it's just dirt, but right in the corner, it's like a foot and a half drop into muddy water.
Oh, yeah.
And his saddlebag caught on a piece of rebar. And he's like just stuck between a bulldozer and rebar, and his bag's caught on the rebar. And we go over to help him, and Pete's like maybe 5 feet away from him. And Dave just hits the tire and just roosters Pete. This is going great.
So Dave's not here to defend himself. What was Dave riding?
His DR650. Okay, let's start there. Let's just describe our machinery.
Go ahead and I'll pull the links up so everybody can see it, even at the home audience.
So,
So the Dave's sitting on his DR650 in this particular shot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so why don't we go ahead? Yeah. So Dave's sitting on the DR650. And then I've got what I can only say is a very, very lean motorcycle next in line. Who's riding?
That's the KLX 230. That's mine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just enough bike.
Which was
just enough bike for the dirt, but not the highway.
Not the highway.
No.
And that was a pure dirt bike that Mark had just converted to street bike.
So we put the Tusk harness and lights, and then I put a service headlight on it. And I definitely would have benefited from a much meatier seat.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah, that's, I mean.
Still hurting today.
Really?
Yeah. That was it's brutal horrible. Seat.
He's literally.
A dirt bike.
Yeah.
Literally made it street legal within a week before we left.
Mm-hmm. Not, no, like a day and a half before we left.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
Dave took the bulls by the horn and went down to the title office and got all worked out. So
good. Well, he's a tendency to be. He's tenacious.
I had a DR250 and it was a great little bike and everything. Yeah. It would do 70 mile an hour, not too much problem on the highway, right. But. It felt like you were sitting on an orbital sander.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like.
So that really does add up for the thousands of miles
you guys are for sure. Well, and my other bike in Portland is a 250, the Honda 250L.
It's like mine. Yeah.
And that one's got a seat concept on it. It's got much better suspension. So that's much more like Greg's,
right.
Which is much more, would soak up the things. My suspension is probably 30% to half as big as his. Mm. It hit every single pothole. My arms were hurting every day. Ass was hurting. Legs were hurting. It was, I replanned that bike the entire drive.
Oh, really? So, yep. So the good news is you had all these miles on the most uncomfortable adventure bike ever. Because, you know, normally when people say we're going to go adventure riding, what they bring is something that's far more suited to the pavement than to the dirt.
Right, and this was very suited for the dirt, but not the pavement. Exactly. And unfortunately, this route developed more pavement than dirt. And that was the downside for us.
Oh, man. And it looks like, Greg, you brought your bike, right?
Yeah.
So the CRF.
CRF 250, yeah.
And once again, fantastic bike. Mm-hmm. Great deal. I mean, that's one of those ones where when you got that bike, that was just, that's perfect. Absolutely good karma.
One of my first dirt bikes was an XR 200.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I like, you know, I beat the hell out of that thing. But it just took a licking and kept on ticking. Like, it's hard to beat those things. So when I wanted a street legal dirt bike, you know, that's what I wanted. I wanted a dirt bike that was street legal, you know, because I didn't want a street bike that I was going to turn. Like some guys, one of the guys down at the shop.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the guy that did was a Sportster? And he just started welding cages onto it and off-road tires and all that. Like, if you drop it, that's a 600-pound bike you got to pick up. And now you added 150 pounds of cage to it, you know, like crash bars and stuff. I said, I wanted something light. You know?
Yeah. We've been fans for years of scramblers, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like for a long time around our group, before the scrambler revolution happened 10 years ago, we were always like, hey, man, yeah, take any motorcycle under 400 pounds, put a knobby tires on it. You made it into a scrambler. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a good time. Mm-hmm. But then you take it out and actually ride it in the dirt and be like, nope. No, not going to have a good time. It's a really bad motorcycle. It's not an appropriate motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And it's far better than to take a decent... One of my favorite ones is the KLX 300.
Mm-hmm.
You take a KLX 300, you can spend almost no money, and it's going to do everything pretty fucking good.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how different the experience is.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we went last year, you know, and you went with Dave and the other guys, we went riding, and we got to some like pretty, you know, like when we stopped and didn't go up that big dirt hill or whatever. But like when you're on a small bike, there's something about it where you don't have the fear of, like, you know, you don't have a 700-pound bike.
Okay.
So it makes the whole thing kind of more fun. So like shit that you'd be getting nervous about, like sometimes when we're riding, I'm like, oh God, like, do you really want to go do this right now? Like that? You don't even say that. You're just like, yeah, all right, let's do it. Like, what are we doing? We're climbing that? That's cool. You know.
So when you guys went out for the day, because obviously, Pete, you took your BMW.
Yeah, the F800. Right?
The F800. So in this particular group, you've got the biggest bike.
Yep.
Nolan's, no, the DR650 falls into the same camp as a KLR650, as far as I'm concerned. They are not good touring bikes.
No, they're tractors. They'll just run all day.
But they will run all day through anything on the goddamn planet.
And Dave's got his really dialed in. He's got the suspension set up. He's got a bigger tank on it. It's big enough that he can carry bags on it. Like the smaller bikes, guys are wearing backpacks.
Right.
Dave and I both had saddlebags on our bikes, which also changes the dynamic of riding, obviously.
Were you guys basically trying to, were you doing a loop where every night you were sleeping in a different spot?
If you look at that map, we kind of just followed the perimeter of the state. So we came in right at 77 on like mid-state on the north part of the state, obviously. And then we went to the east till we got down to the ocean, skirted around the ocean. We went around Charleston.
Skirt.
And then we went west until we were all the way up in the mountains on the very west point of the state, if you can picture the far west point of South Carolina there. We actually dipped into Georgia and North Carolina for just maybe less than half a day.
Okay.
And then back. We did a clockwise loop around the state, basically.
So did you have like a GPX file, or how did you navigate?
We did. We bought chips from GPS Kevin out of California, and you just pop that chip in your GPS. Two of us had the routes displayed, and two of the guys were just following along.
Good idea.
Now, Kevin did not develop this route. Someone else developed this route, and I think there's a link I sent you earlier too. They're in the 14th iteration of this because Charleston keeps growing, and like to get around Charleston is kind of a pain in the ass. You get into like some of the exurbs and that, but there's some parts of the state that there's not an extensive gravel road network. So you are, I'm going to say we were probably 60% on road, but two lane back roads, not any highway stuff. And 40% like Forest Service trails, logging roads, nothing, no single track trails, nothing like technical or hardcore.
Do you guys feel like GPS Kevin's work was good?
Don't ask Dave that.
Yeah, Dave. Well, Dave was expecting more dirt.
Dave was expecting a lot more.
Yeah,
dirt, really.
Yeah, and more dirt would have been more what we were all kind of set up for,
right?
And I think it's just more fun too.
Yeah. Do you guys think that you were moving along too fast because it was?
Oh yeah.
We ended up cutting a couple days off because we just made so much time on the road.
Yeah.
The one day I think we left at 7:30 or so, and then we got to the town where we were gonna look for a hotel at 12:30 maybe.
Oh, yeah.
And then we did like another 100 miles. So I was like,
let's go another 100 miles because. Right. And then Saturday they were calling for tons of rain, which they did. You know, we got rained on Saturday, but not a tornado or hurricane. But we did finish a little early. Because we were making great time. And like I said, Mark's a trooper for riding that bike. I mean, it's just, I was looking at it when Dave was kind of putting some lights on it. And I go, well, that seat's going to be very uncomfortable. Yeah.
Right. You go into a doctor's office waiting room, cut the foam out of the couch, go out and sit on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mainly the suspension is set up for somebody that's probably 135 pounds.
Right.
And I'm maybe slightly over that.
A little heavy.
Yeah, just a little
bit. Okay. Just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
A skosh. Even if we were saying, okay, we're riding small displacement bikes, you're riding 200cc bikes, you're covering that kind of miles per day. When you guys did your trip on the TW200s, right? This is the same similar kind of numbers that you're kicking out.
Yeah.
Right? And
keep in mind, none of the roads even when we hit a paved road, none of them were over 55 miles an hour.
Right.
You know, so it's like a small bike. He was fine. He was keeping up, no problem. You know, we got to back it off a couple times. We get, to where it was 45 and 35. And we're fine,
When you guys left and you said we're going to do this, was the plan to do a 5-day run or was the plan to do a 7-day run?
We thought, we planned, we just said, if something happens, someone's bike breaks, we brought tools and we brought everything else. So in the worst case scenario, it was going to take seven, but finished a little easy,
And aside from the hotel we stayed at the first night, none of the other hotels were pre-booked. We figured the time of year we're going there's not a huge demand on hotel rooms. And so, but if we did bypass a town where we knew there was hotels, we had to look ahead and say, the day we finished the prescribed route at noon, we said, let's knock out some more miles. But you don't want to be 100 miles into the national forest and then,
there's nothing around. Yeah.
There were some towns where we got to find gas and there was no gas pumps or something, so we did have to look ahead a little bit. But we had some of that information on the maps and we did cross some interstates, because there are numerous interstates that run up and down the East Coast there. So we always knew when we come upon an interstate, there's going to be gas stations, there's going to be hotels, and there's going to be food. We actually had a fantastic lunch at this little sports bar.
Skinner.
Yeah, it was called Skinner's. I don't even know what
it was. It was a motorcycle. bar.
Was it owned by Leonard?
No, but I mean, honestly, I would have to say that was the best cooked chicken I've had in 5 years. It was
really
fucking phenomenal.
And it was at this place, like, in the shadow of a sign under the interstate. I guess that's what brought it to mind, is like, it's just like, okay, guys, we're at the interstate. We're going to get gas. We're going to get some lunch. And all of us had, like, really fantastic food in there.
I was telling these guys, the only thing that was else, the only other food in that town was, like, McDonald's, Wendy's, Taco Bell, like, and it's like, no, we're not going to any of those fast food, you know. And this was like a sit-down, just bar, biker bar.
Right.
And this old lady, it was funny, the old lady comes out, and she's going out to get a smoke, and she looks down at the bike. She goes, you guys are on their bikes? I'm like, yeah. She goes, this one, the headlights are still on. And it was Mark left his
lights because on his got, yeah, because he's but got an like, aftermarket kit.
But, I mean, this little lady, and she's like, you don't want to run the battery down, then your bike won't start. I'm like, who's this? Like, she's been around bikes.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
She, was around bikes. She was right on it. Yeah. It's like, your lights are on.
She's
and then,
spotted you. Yeah. All right, here we go. I looked it up here because I want to give them a huge shout out. It's Skinner's Grill and Sports Bar. It's in St. George, South Carolina, 129 Motel Drive. So if you were in that area,
Motel Drive.
Yeah. If you were there, that is a guaranteed amazing food.
I like that. 129 Motel Drive.
Yeah. Stop by and see Leonard.
Yeah.
I got a picture.
Actually,
of the,
we made some new friends there.
They have a website and everything. Yeah,
I got a picture of the one of the coolest things on the menu was chicken livers and gizzards.
Oh
wow!
Yeah,
nice. Yeah.
Were they wrapped in bacon? Wrapped in bacon
for $10.15.
Yeah, $10.
If they're wrapped in bacon, they're good.
$0.15.
Can't beat that deal.
No? Yeah, they had it. It was $9.99. They were like, no,
nah.
We get 16 cents more. 16 more cents out of them. You think that was the best meal you guys had on the trip?
No.
The seafood place.
Yeah, we went to a seafood place. It was like soul food and seafood.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, really?
I had.
Well, he kept saying, he's like, I want, you know, we're close to the ocean.
You're close to the water.
Yeah, right.
He's like, I want oysters. So we get up to the hotel one day. It kind of rained on us. We found this place, and across the street was a Mexican. I'm like, nah. And then I found, just looked it up, and there was a seafood place within walking distance of our hotel. And
were you in, had you guys made it to Abbeville at that point, or were you guys.
This Anderson?
I don't remember what town that
Anderson's
was.
Just north of Abbeville.
We stayed in Anderson.
Following up the river.
Yeah. We did stay in Anderson because that's where Clemson is. And that was, for me, that was the best ride. When we left Anderson and went further northwest, and we had nice curvy two-lane roads in the mountains, and then we had a lot of switchback gravel roads in the mountains, like Forest Service.
Because that, yeah, everything above Anderson looks like somebody's small intestine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That looks like sort of unmappable.
So you're right in the neighborhood of where we go ride. Like, we rode down to Salem, South Carolina on one of our North Carolina riding weekends.
Mm-hmm.
There was a place that we went by, and I think this was after you left Anderson. And, like he was saying, like, we had this beautiful, like, we would go from dirt in the mountains to, like, a beautiful, almost kind of like... You're going through the Valley Parkway where it's a two-lane and it's just curves and curves and curves. Yeah. And it was this little town, I remember, it's called the Highlands.
Oh, yeah.
And it's known. And when we got to our next hotel, I was talking to this lady, you know, at the hotel. And I said, we went to this. And she's looking at the bikes. I said, we went to this town. And when we rolled through the town, there's waterfalls. It was gorgeous. There's a Bugatti parked there. There's a Porsche parked there. There's like, I mean, and it was...
It was the Aspen of the South.
It was the Aspen. Yes, no, I'm not even kidding.
It was. It really was.
We were all like just in awe. We're riding all day. We're riding through the mountains and the dirt roads. And we come in and it's like, where are we? Like, this is crazy. And where the two-lane road went through this town, it was kind of like Sugar Falls. I don't know if you've been to Sugar Falls. Real nice little town. Then when you're through it, more curvy roads. And you had these roads where you're driving and on the left-hand side of you is this rock face that just goes straight up a couple hundred feet, and then off to your right, there's these raging water rapids, and the water's crystal clear, you could see. So we get to the next hotel, I'm telling this lady, I'm like, yeah, we rode to this beautiful town, I think it was called the Highlands. She goes, oh, yeah. And I said, well, why is there so many, I mean, Bugattis and Porsche, you know, Lamborghinis, like all, she goes, they're known for their water, and all these, like, wineries and microbreweries and I don't think it was Nestle or one of like the Aquafina or whatever gets their water from them. She actually said it's God's water. It's water from God.
But it is different. That's where they make all the moonshine and stuff like that. That water has limestone. It's like
Maggie Valley.
Yeah, it runs through all the limestone.
But, the roads through there, if you ever get a chance to go through the Highlands,
yep.
And there's a couple of roads that are just like this, up, down, curvy. And
no, Asheville.
Yeah, we were all over.
That makes more sense.
Well, that's what when we're going in a couple of weeks to go do our yearly kind of like a Blue Ridge Mountain trip. Mm-hmm. And the one road is kind of like that, and it goes through this thing, and it's beautiful. And it's like you go, and there'd be a pocket of like 30 or 40 sport bikes, like kind of chilling and stuff. But it's same thing. At the end of the road, there was a cantina or a bar, you know. And so we had stopped to have a beer. We're hanging out, and in the parking lot, there was like a Porsche and like some other sports car and a bunch of bikes, and then a scat pack. Like, you know, with like the back off bumper things, every like auto mart store thing that you could stick on the car. So we walk in, we sit down at the bar, and it's just a bunch of normal guys and Joe Dirt.
Well, yeah.
Like, you knew exactly.
You didn't have to. You looked out in the parking lot, you're like, that's his car.
That's his car.
That's his car.
And sure enough, man, he walked out there. First thing he did when he got it out, it was from zero to like red line and you know? Meanwhile, there's a GT3 parked next to the guy who just slid in, like, you know.
Yeah, the quietest car in there has got 1,000 horsepower.
Right.
Yeah. But when we were riding through there, we were used to, like, these houses, these shacks, like, in the mountains, like, and a bunch of cars on blocks and trash everywhere. Yep. Like, some of these roads, we were like, they don't, do they have, like, a garbage truck that comes by and picks up their bags? Like, I mean, this is so rural.
That's a joke. What do you, in Pennsylvania, what do you do when your car breaks down? You build a house next to it.
Yes. That's what it was like, man. Yeah. Piles of garbage everywhere.
And it's I like the way they just stack up the lawn tractors.
Oh, yeah.
So they're just like, yep, this family has been here this long.
Yeah.
How long? 7 lawn tractors.
Well, and if you look at the one that's working.
I'm at 4 lawn tractors at the compound.
See?
And if you look at the one that's working, all the parts from the non-working ones have made its way to the one working.
That's why you always buy Cub Cadet.
You always stay loyal to your brand.
Yeah,
that's it. Just different colors.
Well, it's funny you mentions Asheville, because I haven't been to Asheville since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a kid, it was an artist's commune full of pottery and clay setters. And over the years, it became this huge cultural mecca, and then it became like the, you know...
Yeah, it's gentrified.
Exactly.
Did you see what it is. When you were on your ride, did you see, like, one of the things when we go down there, it amazes me, is you'll be driving down some, like, back-ass road, and there's, like, I don't know, 60-degree incline... with a road that goes up the 60-degree incline, and then there's an RV parked at the top. And you're like, how the fuck did they get that up there? Like, I mean, you'd have to, right? Like,
oh, no. Here was our other takeaway, though, especially the first couple of days when we were going, like, from 77 on down towards, like, the Charlotte area, on down towards the coast, is churches. There were more churches than there were houses.
There was one church every mile.
It became a joke. We're like, there's church 372, and then like by that afternoon, we're like, there's church 1,564. I mean, it became comical. Like, you'd come to an intersection, and there'd be like 6 churches at the intersection.
Yep.
And then you'd be in the middle of nowhere. You hadn't seen a house for like 10 minutes, and there'd be a church there. And we're like, who's going to these churches, man? There's more churches than there are.
That one dirt road people. We were going down, was like, we haven't seen a church. And before I got it out of my mouth, there was
a church.
There's nothing. I'm like... And Mark kept saying, he's like, I don't see a lot of parishioners coming to these churches. Like, there's a house every 10 miles. There's a church every 1 mile. How many people are going to these churches?
The math didn't add up.
No, the math doesn't work. But Dollar General's sort it right out. They'll get the math right.
Yeah, right.
Oh, there were so many Dollar Generals.
It's just one of those things. I hate driving through rural areas because I'm just like... Oh, God.
Well, you always have somewhere to buy a Monster Energy drink, though.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Greg, may I do the honors?
You absolutely must.
There you go.
Okay, so Greg brought a little beer.
And if anybody else needs a stein for this.
It is a full quart.
Did we fumigate it to make sure it didn't bring any of the stuff home that we brought home?
Well, I've kept it on ice.
No, he's had it on ice. It's good. Oh, wait, I'm going to do the ceremonial shirt wiping.
There you go.
Right, so we're going to make sure all the bacteria and COVID's off of it. Mm-hmm. This particular motorcycle show, we all had a great time, but we all came back with COVID. I at least found the guy who gave it to me at the shop, and his testicles are hanging by the front door now. He's been warned he's never welcome back.
Yeah.
I said, when you were here last week, were you not feeling so good? He goes, I had a thing. And I was like, yeah, but you also literally got over my shoulder to look at my laptop.
Yeah.
And even when he showed up, you know, he had a problem with his bike yesterday, maybe, and he showed up. And he's the same thing. He's just right in my fucking space. Yeah. And I looked at him, and I was like,
you just can't stay away from people, can you? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, fucking dude, I'm not saying you gotta be 6 feet away.
Yeah.
But I don't want to feel when the last time you shaved was.
He was a close talker.
Fucking ridiculous.
Was he a super spitter?
he might have been a super spreader. He might have been. Oh, well, here we go. So this is Ryan Geist's award show participant. I love that, too.
That's participant my favorite thing.
Since he made Garage Brewed Motor Show. That's a motor show. Very good stuff. Anybody else wants to get in on that? I only poured myself about...
There's no description. 10 ounces. No description of that beer other than Garage Brewed... participant.
I will tell you this. That's a fine drinking beer.
Mm-hmm.
That is in the back where it should be filled in because they clearly only use these 30
ounces. They just put the date on it.
For special occasions, there's just the date. That's actually quite nice, especially drinking it from the stein.
Yeah, right.
That's particularly nice.
So what is it? Is it a Pilsner? Is it a Wiggler? Or what is it?
It's Pilsner.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it's Pilsner. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could drink a lot of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know if that was the actual beer, because they did have the Garage Brewed, whatever they're... I mean, they had all the flavors and all that stuff, champagne of the, you know...
Bubbles
that no one drank. But I don't know if they were actually selling this, or if there was just like, here's whatever was left in the bottom of the thing, and here's your participant beer, you know?
It's real light. It's real...
Yeah,
it's
I real liked fun. It, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that at all. So drink up, Johnny. Drink up, boys. If you're thirsty, don't let it get warm. It won't be nearly as delicious.
You got a cup?
But yes, we have a whole wall of these.
All right. So, I'll take a cup.
And let's you could be from... I'll give the update on mine. Mine is...
I'd like a red Solo cup.
Rumansfeld.
I don't know if I got a red
Solo. Rumansfeld. The Oompa Loompa band. Pictured on the Stein.
Oh, yeah.
Red Solo cup. Isn't that the song?
There's another one of those if we don't have enough to go around.
Yeah, there's a whole other pounder.
Yeah.
2 pounder.
Question. Well,
it's 32 ounces. It's 3 pounder.
Yeah, it's right? just 2 pounds.
No, 2 pounds.
Yeah,
it's 2 pounds. Question. I was never good at math.
I spun the world around.
lay it on us, honky.
Question. I know you said you redesigned a bike during the course of this event.
Yeah, just, you know, and then, but unfortunately, when you start to research parts for the KLX 230, there's nothing out there.
Not really.
There's absolutely nothing out there. You can't really find foot pegs to upgrade. You can't find suspension. I mean, I think you can find some minor suspension upgrades.
Yeah.
It is really a black hole of parts. Where as the 250 that I've got, parts all day long.
Parts falling off trees.
Yeah.
KLX 250, one of those bikes that I've had a bunch of them over the years.
Yeah.
Never a problem getting a part for it. Never a problem if you're like, you know, I just need this one thing.
But then you go down to the 230 and there's nothing.
It's not nothing, man. Yeah.
And nothing fits from the other bike because I bought a couple of pieces too big. Oh, I have to cut too much.
There's nothing.
I bought some foot pegs that were 250s.
I bought a piston like another... wouldn't fit in a hole.
Shame on Kawasaki, but you'd think that on the normal shit.
Yeah, but no. They're smaller.
Fuck.
It's a kid's bike.
It's a kid's bike.
Yeah.
It's a kid's bike. So, but now it's a kid's bike with a title.
Yeah.
It's a kid's bike with a title and a story.
There was a couple of times on that ride where I wish I would have had a kid's bike.
Oh, really?
Oh, we hit some muddy holes. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Well, everything was pretty easy.
Right.
But the day that it was raining, okay, this picture here.
Yeah, so this picture, sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Rather, I think the muddy stretch.
Did you get video of this? Me going into the hole?
I think I do. I haven't downloaded
it. I was trying to gear myself up to go.
But this is out of the big hole and into the small hole.
That was the around. So we came up.
Wait a second.
This was the easy path.
This is the easy path.
Well, because the big hole I went into thinking, I'm just going to go through this. And it was almost up to my airbox.
Yeah.
It was over my rear seat.
It had to be.
It got over my rear fender.
Oh, shit.
I was lucky not to get water into the motor.
So you could see in the picture from the trees to the other side is, you know, you could probably get maybe a car and a half, two cars.
Right.
And the water in this hole went into those woods and then into the other side this way.
Oh.
And when we pulled up on it, and we hit a couple potholes and some water before this, right? And keep in mind, this is only like 4 miles from our destination, our hotel, where we were going to be. And you could see in the mud when we pulled up, there was a tow strap.
Yeah,
abandoned tow strap. Abandoned tow strap.
And we didn't read the signs.
Yeah.
So
then you see Jeep and truck tires that made their own path
right
on the behind where Dave is. You can't see. And there was like these rutted mud trails through the woods to get around the hole because the hole in the middle probably was like 4 or 5 foot deep.
But leading into this, all the way up this road, we'd gone through some puddles that were maybe... Oh, first of all, everything's the color of chocolate milk.
So you can't see that.
You can't see the bottom of the hole. So we went through a couple puddles that were 3-4 inches deep.
Well, you hit that pothole where you bottomed out your suspension.
And then
that was great.
I put the front wheel of my bike into a hole that I thought I was skimming across a small puddle, and the front wheel dipped down like I drove into a bathtub.
Yeah.
And it completely compressed my suspension, which is the new Tortec suspension I just put on. It's a rock solid suspension. It's not like a stock thing. And it used every bit of that, whatever, 10 or 11 inches of travel that it has to give.
And we thought you broke your wrist.
I thought I broke my wrist, too.
Oof. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But we got two of the four bikes stuck. Actually, three of the bikes.
That's on a road that's a bayou.
Yeah, exactly. It was. Yeah. Dave was leading. He went in deep and got stuck. His skid plate was sitting on...
on mud.
Mud, or and like the back wheel was just churning water.
Yeah.
And then Greg and I both got stuck trying to do the workaround.
Yeah.
And but we got through.
Yeah.
We
did.
So do you think that in that particular situation, the right path would have been to just go out in the fucking woods and just...
Well, that's the thing.
Tree roots.
You couldn't. Like it's weird how the roads.
There was no track.
The roads are kind of raised up, so when it's wet, all the woods are just mush.
They're just swamped out.
It was mush. Yeah.
Oh,
way worse. But the right path would have been to take a stick and test.
There was
like the old German army where you send the guy out in front of the tanks, and he just kind of goes in, and you're like,
oh, he's doing okay.
Well, that's what happened on the first one. Yeah. Dave was leading the way, right, and he hits this puddle that like he thought it was like maybe. You know,
right.
At most, maybe a foot deep, and he just sunk, and that's when he got stuck. His skid plate was on like a, and he was just spinning his tire, flinging it up, and he's like, "That was the best." And we're all looking at him like, "Yeah, you flung mud over everyone and rocks and everything, you know."
That was the best.
Well, because up until that point, you know, it was just pretty tame.
When you've got 3 out of 4 roads. Bikes stuck,
yeah,
you know, 3 out of 4, your options are looking pretty thin at that point. Like the idea of a self extraction. When you've got 3 out of 4 bikes are stuck, what'd you guys do? What was your plan?
We parked the bikes where we could, and we like lifted one bike out, then we got the next bike through, then we got the next bike through, and then we went on down the road. But we didn't know if it was going to get worse ahead or if it was going to get better.
Yeah.
This part where we all got stuck was the worst of it, so we did hit some more big puddles.
Did you drop a pin in that son of a bitch?
Oh, no.
To let other people know?
Nah, they'll find it. They'll
find it.
No need to mark it. They'll find it.
If you're following this road and you or route online and you see a bathtub in front of you full of water and it spreads for miles.
But just slow down and check it, how deep it is.
Think of all the people that were behind are going to be behind you on much bigger, heavier bikes.
Yep. I mean, that area, you know, we'd see like the big raised up Jeeps and the trucks and all that stuff. And you could tell like... there's guys going through there and all drunked up and like, let's go through this big mud puddle and then let's make it deeper, you know? Unfortunately, it doesn't work for small bikes, you know?
Really not. You got to be careful if you start going on 4x4, you know,
4x4 trails.
Oh, yeah.
Trails that Jeeps and stuff have been on, because I experienced some of that when I was riding my XT500 as a kid, and I know I hit more than one hole where my headlight went underneath. Yeah. I was like, whoa! And then just stay on it in second gear and like, whoa! And I would get out. Hole.
They call them the sippy hole.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd get out the other side and the bike would die. Yeah. It was like, okay, just got me out, but now there's water.
Now it's full of water.
And I'd have to like kick it over, get the water out of it, and then eventually it would start.
Here's a pro tip for you, though. We did have GPSs that had elevation on them.
Mm-hmm.
So you would know by looking at your GPS whether you're going up or down. So shortly after this, we started climbing. And I mean, if you only climb 10 feet, I mean, that's all you need. Yeah. So this was the absolute low point of the trail, morally. And,
in more ways than one.
Yeah. Or not morally, but morale related.
But I think, you know, it was early enough in the season that we didn't have too many 4x's coming the other way.
Kind of some of our concerns. We saw them on the road. We didn't see them on the trail.
Yeah.
It wasn't. There was the one part where you washed out and the Jeep went by you, but that was more of like a...
That was a Sunday or Saturday, too.
That
so,
was Sunday,
Yeah. And in beautiful weather, too. Yeah.
Most of the time, we didn't see anybody out on the trail. I think we only passed 2 other bikes on the trail the whole time coming in. We passed 2 TW200s one day going the opposite direction. But we didn't see a lot of bikes on the trail. There wasn't a lot of Jeeps on the trail.
You guys clearly decided to go in a clockwise configuration on this. And I looked at your route, and it's like, clearly, it's like, that was well thought out. That was a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
And
it worked out.
It looked like, yeah, it looked like that was some very good thinking that went into that. Yeah.
Well, it saved the best for last, which was cool, getting up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the mountains much more than I enjoyed the swampy area down by the ocean.
Oh, for sure.
I still like seeing the ocean, going to the ocean, getting some seafood and stuff, but... the terrain was just much more interesting on the western part of the state.
It wasn't like when we went to Utah and we were going up, was that LaSalle Pass?
Yeah.
There was a couple of roads where it was like, it was gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And then you hit like this bedrock and this shale and you're going up like this jagged, jagged, jagged. And, you know, you're spinning the tires. Yeah. You don't know if you're going down or whatever. And a lot of the stuff that when we got up higher, it was more, I wouldn't even say it was a maintained road, but it wasn't potholes, it wasn't big ruts, it was just, it was nice,
it was better,
it was great.
Yeah, harder stuff. I mean, that's a big part of it, is if you're on something that's firm, that's solid, yeah, you can live with a lot of shit. I've been on a lot of fire trails where I was like, this is as nice as any road I've ever been on, and you know nobody's back there grooming it,
and
it's
even
just the way it is.
Even some of the areas where it was muddy, there was enough grit and gravel in the mud, it was still predictable traction, so you weren't worried about like slipping out all the time. And 3 to 4 bikes had new tires on when we left. I had like a half-worn tire, and I'm like, I'm just going to burn it up on this trip. And
okay.
So I didn't have full traction, but I never felt out of control.
Okay. That's pretty good.
I had really good luck on the, I just was trying some of those Tusk D-Adventure tires. Yeah. Those were really good. Great price.
You can't beat the price.
Yeah.
Absolutely can't beat the price. And for such a lightweight bike, you're not going to shoot through tires.
No.
Yeah. So you could really...
But like, when you throw some 190 pounds on top of it, you might shoot through a few tires.
Yeah. You know, that's the weird thing, because we have so many people come into our shop all the time, and they're like, oh, yeah, you got to have this. You got to have that. You got to swear by this. You got to swear by that. But then we have other people come in, and they're just like, yeah, it was cheap. And I'm like, yeah, it was cheap. But you've managed to make it last how long? Like, weird as hell that... You know, people have totally different experiences. I also have people that ride the rear brake and just fucking destroy tires.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you got to stop doing that. Like,
well, unfortunately, my rear brake wasn't working.
Oh.
So I didn't have the opportunity to ride it.
Wait.
We had bled it and everything, and it felt good in the shop. And then by halfway through the trip, I didn't have any feel on it.
So you had a dirt bike with only a front brake.
Yes.
Oh, that's fucking psychotic.
Well, through the mountain passes through the beautiful area.
Yeah.
I was riding spiritedly.
Yeah.
And then we get into the dirt, and I'm coming downhill on this turn, and I've got no brakes. And then the second and third grabs, I've got no brakes. And then I pull it all the way back to the grip. I locked it up about 1.5 feet off the ledge that was going to drop off 25 feet.
Oh, man.
Drop the bike.
Yeah.
And then pop back up again.
Yeah.
Thanks to my gear.
Right.
Yeah.
And oh, my God.
But then we did bleed the brake that night, though, again.
I came back. Yeah.
It came back.
Yeah.
Good for
in,
you.
In the parking lot of a hotel, it was about, 35 degrees.
Yeah, it was cold.
And the wind was blowing like hell. It was brutal out there. But we got him this brake back for the next
Which
day.
Would have led to, if Smith would have stayed, he brought up that thing about the self-bleeding brake line thing that you could do. So that would have been a great liaison.
If you don't have speed bleeders, I don't know what you're doing. Makes life real easy, especially makes life real easy if you don't have friends, because that's been when I've done so many of my bikes that I was traveling on. I was like, yeah, fucking $16, put a fucking set of speed bleeders on it and just not have to worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't pull air back into the system. So you don't have to be Johnny Smooth on the pump, 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 go back, you know, like when we're all playing that game and you're like, okay, well, I could probably do this 3 or 4 times till I start sucking air in. Right. And or put the 4-foot-long fucking hose on the
front.
Oh,
that's the way we did, just like a Volkswagen.
Yep, like a Volkswagen, absolutely. Just put a 4-foot-long hose on it.
Yep.
And you're fine. All the air comes out that way.
Yep.
With the speed bleeder, you literally just, you know, mash it, crack it, close it, you're fine.
With all the tools that we brought, like in case of, you know, the tire went flat, you had to change a tube. I don't think we brought an 8mm... or 7mm
wrench. 7mm wrench
to bleed the brakes. Right. So what were we using?
We had an adjustable. And then locking pliers.
We made it happen. Yeah.
Made it happen. Vice grips. You're good to go.
Well, see, I pack a pair of vice grips on every single trip because it's a replacement clutch.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a clutch lever.
Snapback clutch lever.
Yeah. I've seen people use them as shift levers.
Brace ropes are all the things.
Yeah. Yes. Just get a little set one that fits in your guards and you're good.
So that's fine. That little tip from everybody, tech tip, always pack at least two pairs of ice grips.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I have needle nose in my kit. Yep. I've got a small pair of needle nose ice grips, and I've got a large set that can be used to literally hold frames together.
Sure.
You know, and it's worth it. It's worth me losing 8 ounces. Mm-hmm. To have those big vice grips. I've used those large size, and they're square jaw. So they're square jaw, so they do beautiful job of holding metal to metal.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. I do have to thank Pete for providing some carrying services on the trip.
That's what I was wondering. Because when you said, oh, well, two of the guys had smaller bikes and backpacks, and I went, so that means that you and Nolan were the station wagons. You're the pack mules.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Because I had side saddlebags.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Cool.
Fortunately, me, for the CRF250,
right.
if you wanted to fix it, and they give you the toolkit, which is two Allen keys.
Two Allen keys. That's all you need. Fucking toolkit. Yeah. That is the whole fucking toolkit for that whole motorcycle.
Yeah. I want to back up to the vice grip thing, too.
Yes.
If you ever have to use vice grips I used them one time, clutch cable snap. Yep. So you just clamp them on to keep the clutch cable. And, use a piece of safety wire too, and safety wire those vice grips to your frame somewhere in case it does release in any way. You're not gonna lose them beside the road.
Right. They're gone forever.
Well, you'd have to go back and look for them. You could probably find them once you realize
if they're safety wired or duct taped.
Yep.
So that you can not lose them and they're not gonna fall off. I had a set of luggage boxes. I won't name the manufacturer, GV, and. I had them on my KLR, and I had what I would like to consider to be one of the softest offs I've ever had in my fucking life. And I picked the bike up, jumped on, went down the road. I was like, what the fuck is that noise? I went back, and they broke my subframe.
Oh. Mm.
That's some bullshit, right? And I had done the subframe conversion on the KLR, where you put the bolt all the way through, so you're not just holding small bolts, holding the left and right side to the frame. And even though I had done that, where the mount was for the GV boxes, literally just cracked the whole fucking subframe. And because I had big-ass fucking vice grips with me, I was able to just... And it squashed the GV metal, and it squashed my subframe metal and made a perfect laminate of steel.
Perfect, yeah.
It was the best.
Yeah.
And then over the vice grips that I put on with all the power that the gods could muster, then I wrapped that with electrical tape or a... With the gaffer tape, just because what you said, don't want to lose the fucking the vice grips.
Right.
Because if they go away, everything goes away. And if they vibrate and slip and fall off, then you lose everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking.
I fixed a guy's clutch cable on a trip one time with the vice grips.
Yeah.
And then he gave them back to me like a year later.
Oh, really?
he never fixed his clutch cable when he got home from the trip. And then he comes in one day and he's like, gives me these rusty ass vice grips back. I'm like, what is this? He goes, these are those vice grips you fixed my cable with like last year. I'm like, you're just getting around it, don't I? I'm like, and for fuck's sake, go buy me a new pair.
Right, give me a new pair or metal rescue these and make them functional again.
Yeah, so he did. He got me a new pair, but I just thought it was funny that he left that bodged repair there for a full year.
So 7mm was the 7mm was the tool that you decided on the trail that you really didn't have. Now, was there anything else you came up short on?
I don't think so.
An ass pad.
Well, gel seat. I think I know where you were going.
There's a whole bunch. Like for a while, you had to pay a lot of money for them, but now all the Chinese replicators got to them. But like, if you look up your bike and you look up wrenches, like so for my Africa Twin, I have these two wrenches that lock together, so you could do the lug bolts and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then on the inside, the way it holds together is the one side has a 6mm cutout. Right. So like it knows like okay, you can use this for your clutch bolt, this for the it's everything in two little things.
I've got the Motion Pro spoons that on each end of the spoon is
the axle
8mm, a 10mm. Mm-hmm. So a 10mm on this side and an 8mm on that side through the same hole. Mm-hmm. Fucking genius. Mm-hmm. And then on the other spoon, it's a 13 and a 14. And I'm like, two spoons, and they're light as fuck. I don't know what they're made out of. Rock like unicorn tears or something. They're super lightweight. But I've had these things forever. And they are just... It's one of those things you're like, yep, always need a 13mm box end.
Sure.
Always need a 14mm box end.
And that's two spoons. And then they do make a third one that has like the 17 and the 19 right. in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't have that one because it's like, those are kind of big.
The day you need it and you don't have it, you're going to curse yourself. Why did I put that in my bag?
Fucking axle.
Yeah.
Allen head bolt.
Yeah.
Yep.
The fucking front axle internal. I'm on the side of the road with the 3/8 drive. Putting little stones, little tiny stones that I'm scavenging around to find the perfect flat rocks, and I'm putting them in there to pull my axle, and could go 1/8 of a turn, and then find more stones.
Yeah.
You're like, fucking hell.
Yeah, we were really lucky with tires. We didn't have any, nobody had flats. We didn't have any
pressure.
Yeah,
well, we were lucky, super lucky mechanically all the way around. Yeah. We really didn't have any mechanical issues.
Y'all, but you did have good bikes. I mean, every single one of those bikes is a really good bike.
We did ride, there was a lot of like logging, you know, areas, and some of the roads we rode by, like to the left and to the right, it's like they burnt down or cut down and burned down all the brush, and it like it looked like a bomb went off. But there was, you know, chips of wood, and it's going to get like a splinter or get in a tire. You know, we didn't have anything like that. You know,
well, I mean, we definitely found the source of all the Home Depot pine lumber.
Oh, the twisted shit.
Well, yeah, because I think that's where they're logging it from. The trees are like 20 years old and twisted. So,
The one of our friends, she showed up, and she'd ridden to Mid Ohio. And so, you know, you're there. You made it. You've ridden from California to Mid-Ohio. Best day ever. Relax. Have 3 or 4 days of drinking and debauchery just to chill the fuck out. She's getting ready to roll out, and she's on a big Triumph Adventure bike, or big Triumph Sport Touring bike. And she's getting ready to roll out. Like, they're leaving that day to go start the back to California Adventure. And there was a stick made of wood that went through her tire that just caught the edge of her tire and went somehow running around at Mid-Ohio, playing around in, you know, the trails or whatever there. She managed to jam a stick between the alloy rim of her wheel and her tire, and it penetrated the tire. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
You don't want to ride like
that. Are you going to ride on that? And everybody's like, how did that not puncture the tire? Like, it just went through still, where there was enough meat.
Still holding.
So it was still holding air like a son of a bitch. But then at this
point, leave it in there. It's good.
Yeah, because I mean,
like, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
And you're like, okay, you're about to get on and drive 90 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't.
Back to California. Yeah, right. And so I was like, well, you know, it's a 120 by 70 by 17. You know, like, we have these tires. We have all of these, right? Just when we get back to the shop, take your pick. And like, if you want to have a nice, fully Kroizen, time aged, cheap tire, I have those. Like, you don't necessarily have to have the stickiest new tire. If you don't want to spend the money, I can give you a nice discounted tire that we've had hanging around too long. And she did. She mounted that son of a bitch up, and she's like, well, do you want this old tire? I'm like, put it in the back of the pile where, you know, they come and pick up all these stupid tires. And I was like, just throw it in the pile in the back. She's like, well, I kind of feel like I want to save it. I'm like,
just take a picture.
And are you going to drive? Are you going to take that tire back to California on the back of your fucking Triumph? No, you're not.
Take a picture.
That. Come on, man. It was weird. I'd never seen one go like that. And it held air. Fucking strange.
Well, it's so funny. Weird. You guys didn't tell me she was showing up. I thought I was going to have to fight her. So I was holding down the fort for a spot.
Right.
And then I wake up and there's a bike in a tent in the area. And I'm like, who the fuck is this? I'm about to kill somebody. And then she was like, hi, are you with the Cleveland Moto guys? Yeah. I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, it's fine. You're cool.
Yeah, I put my feathers back down.
California, She rode from California, got to the destination, was going to get abused by the hippie standing out in the field naked.
I know. Right? Well, you know, that's my joy. I love being there before everybody else.
It's very cool.
I was upset.
Very, very cool.
Who invaded our territory? I don't like this.
Parts of that trip when you guys, so I see you guys are down here worshiping the ocean.
Yeah. No, that's the our new cover for our band that we're starting.
Oh, that's for your album.
Faith Plus Two.
Nice.
I don't know. No, we were in the route took us around.
The new band name's going to be 7.5 Legs.
It should be.
Yeah.
the route took us as far south and what was it? It started with an E.
Edisto Beach.
Edisto Beach, okay. Mm-hmm. And it was only, what, 20 miles or 15 miles off of the route?
Yeah, we had to do like an out and back off of the route, and it was all through like a, what would you call that, like
kind of marshy,
estuary or something, to get down to the beach, and that's where this picture was taken too. It was kind of a resorty town there, and then we had to backtrack that back to get to the route, and then we continued.
Good. I mean, it's always good to dip your toe in the water, man.
Yes, that's always good. We said we're just close to the ocean. Yeah. Let's go to the ocean.
Pick up a different ocean. Pick up another beach. You know, that's just a good thing to do.
Sun your taint. You know, all the important.
Anytime you have a chance to do it, you should do it.
We did drive by this like complete old school looking like seafood shack, and I saw it on the way down to the beach.
Is it that place?
The live bait or live
one. Yeah. So when we were going by it again, it was 10:30, and we pulled in. Actually, we walked into the bait shop, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't serve food here." And he goes, "It's around back." But we went around back, and they're like, "Oh, we don't open till 11." We're like, "We got green money dollars here. Is there anything ready?" And they're like, "Nope, come back at 11." So off we fucked.
That was a hard 11.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a hard 11.
But the entire town is built on 10 to 12 foot stilts.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which, do you know which town was it again?
Edisto.
Edisto. E-D-I-S-T-O.
Yeah. Huh.
Because, I mean, having lived in, you know, a place where hurricanes happen, that makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. It entirely made sense, but also say goodbye to every vehicle parked under your
house. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's all the parachute.
There's a reason why insurance is expensive.
Right.
Okay. If you can get it insured.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's called the insurance of last resort. Mm. And it's about three times what it usually is.
So I see that there's a... I don't think that's what we around here would call a fjord or a ford.
That was exactly a ford.
It was exactly a ford?
It was.
Yeah.
And the water was running over it pretty strongly. There's like one channel like close in here. Then there was a second channel where the water was probably a foot deep, and it was moving.
Yeah.
Well, if you zoom in on that picture.
That's what I'm seeing. When I look further down the road, that's deep water.
Yep. No, if you look further down the road, you see the hill goes up
curves.
At the bottom of that, there's a chain across the road.
Oh, keeping people from...
Yeah. But it's in the river.
The ford.
So right where we were, you could probably walk maybe another 20 foot out.
Sure looks like
it. Once you get like further out, 25 foot past where the water is, it was probably like all washed out real deep.
Really?
Dave was like, let's go. He's like, I'd go if that chain wasn't there. I said, we'd be fishing you out of the water down the stream.
Because this was on a dirt road, and there was just this concrete ford built through the low part.
Right. And this was at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
The low point, and then you went up the hill on the other side.
It was like a giant sidewalk they'd laid there. And on either side of the sidewalk, on the downstream side, there was probably a 2 foot drop off, and the water was churning over that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I told these guys, like, that water is moving fast enough, it'll sweep your bike right out from under you.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to do a workaround, and we backtracked, and we came to another road where they were doing construction on a bridge.
No, the bridge wasn't even there.
And the bridge was, they were building a new bridge. Yeah. So then we had to do another workaround, and we finally made our way out of there. Mm-hmm. But it was just part of the adventure, you know.
One of the things when you buy those GPS coordinates and you're following the line, if you go off the line, it doesn't reroute you. Like, you have to figure your way back to the blue line or back to the whatever line you're on. It doesn't reroute you like a regular GPS.
Right.
It's a map overlay.
Right. I've done different routes before with different people's overlays, and one of the things about them is just you are giving up that thing that we become so used to that was like, oh, I'm going to calculate another route. I'm going to come up with something alternative to you. And the point is, once you're overlay, once you're not on the overlay anymore, well, then it's up to you to figure it out.
Yeah. You zoom out and you try and find, I'm going to go up this way and make it back, you know.
So many of the things can be really, really hard to navigate. I've done it. I've gone out there and I'm like, you know what? I've got the GPS. I've got everything great. I've got my phone as a backup. And so I'll be using Google Earth or I'll be using something like that. And I found myself in the trick bag so many times being like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to be off the overlay. I'm going off the maps for a while. But with Google Earth, I'm pretty certain that this is going to work.
Well,
No. I fucked myself into a corner so many times I can't think of it.
On the way back, we had listened to a story about a guy in Mexico that was following. He had his phone and he had another GPS. And he's trying to get to this town and he's like by himself. He's out in the middle of nowhere on this little road that they say, you know, don't be out here, right. You know, at that certain. And did it say he said he followed his phone? Said go yeah. this way. The map said go this way. Mm-hmm. So he's like, well, my phone's never been wrong. So he goes out this way, and he gets to get to a point where there's no more tracks. He doesn't. So he turned around, went yep. back the other, and did that a couple of times. And by the time, you know, he realized, okay, I can kind of see where I'm supposed to be. It was already dark.
Right.
Then he fell over and broke his foot. And so he's in the middle of nowhere. He had to use, what was that thing called?
He had a spot device. Spot, right? Yeah, oh, yeah, Garmin yeah. inReach. He had an inReach. Yep.
But he had a broken leg. Like, he didn't know it. Like, the bike fell over on him. It was a Tenere?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Those
it's a heavy bike. He can't. The guy's like.
That is a heavy bike.
He's like, when I packed up my bike, all my survival gear, when the bike fell over, all the survival gear, it fell over on that side where I couldn't get to the survival gear.
I've heard. So that's.
He didn't pack it where it was accessible.
I have heard this twice now in 30 days mm-hmm. where people are like, remember.
Yeah.
If your bike falls over and you can't get to the thing you use to pick your bike
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Or if the bike falls on your leg and you can't get to the thing that you tie a tourniquet up with, you're in fucking trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they said, make sure when you think about your layout. Yeah. And the one guy was like, yeah, you know what? I keep the tourniquet on my body,
yeah.
not in my bags.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I keep the tourniquet up here because then no matter where I end up, I could be 200 feet away from my bike.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wear a tourniquet on each limb.
Just
well, I pre-wrap them. Yeah.
Pre-install 4 tourniquets. Yeah.
Automatic ones. One bit cord.
It's like the Honda airbag, but not.
And if it goes off by accident, hey, you know.
Pre-install 4 tourniquets. That's the best.
You know what all this makes me think, though? Yeah. So, like, all this GPS. Think about the dudes with the fucking roll maps and, like, fucking rallies
oh,
and stuff.
Oh, yeah. We had talked about that.
Like, 8.4 miles, then, you know, left. And you're like, wait a minute.
No, bro. But every time I've ever entered one of these stupid fucking things, I'm like, oh, this is a disaster.
Yeah.
They're like, no GPS is allowed. I'm like, well, then you just don't want me here.
When Brian
okay,
did the...
fair enough.
Brian did the Skidmark 500, yeah. and he had the roll map. He goes, that was the coolest thing. And I'm like... But you just gotta sit there and like turn it, like. And I don't get it, like you know. I'm like, he's like, it was the best, and I said, okay, you know.
You gotta use your hands. It's you gotta,
a yeah. and your brain
toy.
Because if you fuck up one thing, you're fucked for the whole rest of it.
Right, right.
Unless there's like a landmark or something.
Yeah, you scroll back.
Yeah. Get bigger.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Compound.
That's what I think. By the time I hit my fifth turn, I was off by.
Yeah.
A very large distance.
Yeah.
On my fifth fucking turn. And I was just like, why are those guys all going there?
Because there's no way to turn that scroll around.
I'm super wrong.
You can't turn the scroll around and ride it in reverse. No.
And I saw the guy, a dude that went past me.
Yeah.
Fucking turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I'm turning around too.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of where this guy that broke his leg, it was in Mexico. He mm-hmm. was down in Copper Canyon.
Yeah.
That's where he got confused, and that's how he got himself in trouble, because he had two devices. One, he came to a fork in the road, and to get to where he was going, one device said to go one way, the other device said to go the other way. He didn't know which one to trust, and he picked the wrong one, basically.
Damn.
And the trail ended up petering out. He had to turn around and come back, and by the time he figured out where he was going, it was way late, and he was on a very bad road, and it was dark.
Well, there was a couple of times, like when we got to, and for most of it, like I said, I think Dave was kind of upset that it, when the guy said that the trail that we were going to ride was, you know, 40%, 60%, you know, mm-hmm. like dirt, you know, and a lot of the roads that we were on, especially like the first day, you could tell like maybe a couple years ago, they were dirt roads. Now it's so all paved.
Okay.
A lot, right. Like we hit a couple roads where it's like, this is brand new pavement, man. This is not like, you know, and they didn't update the maps and say, oh, now you're on pavement. Like, it was dirt a couple years ago.
A lot of people hate tar and chip, but
hang on.
There's a big difference between
dirt
and tar and chip.
Yeah. Right. Tar is just its own animal, man. Yeah, that's exactly it. And I would, anytime anyone's like, oh, you know, it was a dirt road. I'm like, that's not a dirt road. Mm-hmm. That's an improved road. It's, you don't like it, but it's a road. You know, chip tar is fine.
Right. One of the things I kept telling Dave, I said, you know, and he's Mr. I want to find adventure. I want to find, you know, the craziest roads. I said, well, you got this little computer at your hands. Go on Google Earth and find the road where the path is.
Yeah.
And then Google Street Maps. And if it's dirt, let's go. If it's concrete or paved,
deviate from the
let's
path.
Let's go around that. You know, like, oh, yeah, well, you know. And we got, what was that by the Blue Ridge Mountains? We got to, and it there was a gate.
Oh, yeah.
And it said, do not enter. Yeah, and Dave's like, let's just go around it. And I'm like, listen, there's like a national forest building here and cameras, and there's a gate. This road, a couple years ago, was part of the trail. It said, go this way. Mm-hmm. We were right there, and we had to deviate around it because now it's closed.
And
they didn't update the map.
Sometimes when you're on those national forest lands and you're right next to a ranger station, some of the rangers are a little earthy. They don't appreciate motorcycles. They're maybe like some Sierra Club attitude kind of thing. And I'm not going to give that guy an excuse to, you know, like detain me because I went around a closed barrier.
Sure. And remember, anything that happens on BLM, anything that happens on forest research, those are all federal offenses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, good luck.
Right. You know?
I'd rather just be like, oops, we ended up on the wrong side in Yosemite National Park.
You know what? I think since these are designated as BDR routes, you could probably
is actually not a BDR.
This isn't BDR.
Oh, no, this is something else.
No, this is something else. This is just an informal kind of...
Right.
Oh.
This is homegrown.
Yeah. I was going to say, because the BDR one, I'd be like, fuck you, I bought this map.
Right,
yell at that guy.
No, the BDR is very formal. They do a lot of research. Yeah, they do a lot of running of things.
Interesting choice of words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What?
I'd be like, fuck you.
I'm going
good luck
here.
Telling the ranger, fuck you.
Well.
No, I'm saying, though, if you got a ticket, I would go to court, and I'd be like, I wouldn't say fuck you, but I would say fuck you. I would be like, no, whoever put this map out that is an actual product that says license, right, with all this stuff,
well,
it's on them.
Say fuck you without saying fuck you.
When the guy who wants to shoot me for being on his property, even though I opened his gate and closed his gate like a good citizen, but he wants to shoot me because I'm on his property, because my GPS said, that's where you go.
No. I'm not talking about the gate. I wouldn't do that. I'm saying like what he said, like a ranger comes out and doesn't like you standing there.
Right.
That's when I'd be like, well, then you need to take it up with these guys.
Right. Oh, I was on the hood of my truck with the rangers, and I was like, look, I'm not trying to blaze new trails in a two-wheel drive V6 Tundra. That's not what I'm trying to do. You see, I got two bikes in the back of this. I'm trying to make deliveries. We thought we were going down something that was going to be fun and cool, and we ended up having to do some, you know, improvised overnight camping.
Right.
Because it got dark, and the steep fall, very, very steep drops. And I explained to him, it took us 6 hours to get where we were.
Mm-hmm.
Because we followed something that we thought was telling us the right way to go.
Right.
And it turns out Garmin was more than happy to lead us down a thing that wasn't a thing for the past 20 years.
Yeah. Mm. Trust me, Ranger. I want to be out here much worse than you want me to be out of here.
Yeah. And if any of you will open that fucking gate that we're on the wrong side of, you can tell your friends about this. The idiots from Cleveland that ended up in a two-wheel drive V6 Tundra in a place where they're scared to take ATVs.
Right.
Right? And the guy was like, if you were back there, I was like, bring your map out. Get your map out, paper map, and I will get my GPS out, and we will just literally, I'll show you where we went.
Yeah.
And that guy's like, you went on 7 different people's property.
Right.
I said, I know. I opened and closed every gate. Every gate. And when it told me go up another 150 feet and turn right, I went up 150 feet and I turned right because I was desperately trying to get back to something that looked like it was, you know, wider than this fucking table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, adventuring is weird, you know?
Well, when we, and speaking of the BDR and following the maps, when we did Utah, and you were, Pete, you remember this, we go into Monument Valley. We got chased out of Monument Valley. There was a big white SUV that come running up on us, almost ran Dave off the road. And
turns broadside in the middle of the trail in front of us.
Middle of the trail.
Oh, really?
Because they said no motorcycles allowed. Even though we rode in, okay, and there was a gate where you had to pay a...
It was $8 a person.
It was like $8 a bike.
Because it was $50 total.
And we paid to get through this gate.
Right.
We go up to like where it looked like... was that a hotel or was like some kind of center?
Visitor center,
whatever. And then here's Monument Valley, and we saw all these cars going.
And so there before,
we just start driving in.
Right.
And here comes this big white SUV right up on our side, slams on the brakes, and lady yelling out the thing, go, no motorcycles. And she's serious. No motorcycles. Right. So we had to turn around and get out of there.
But
they chased it. But that was the route for the BDR. wasn't it?
Well, that was an offshoot. That was like a extra loop, I guess.
Okay. Okay.
But that's 17 miles, I think, through Monument Valley, yeah. the scenic drive, I guess.
That's what it is.
And we were not more than a mile into it when this lady chased us down. She really? Must have seen us going and got in her car and like chased us down.
Well, I have video.
But this is on Native American land, and they are the authority there. It's private land.
Right. Okay.
So I guess they can make the rules.
Wow.
But she turns us around.
Yeah.
And so we're going back, and I said, well, F this. I paid $48 to get in here for the six of us.
Yes.
I'm going to take a couple pictures. She didn't even want us to stop, get off the bike, and take pictures.
Right.
But we did.
Yeah.
And she stood there and tapped her toe and, like, wagged her finger, and then... We got out of there.
Wow, man, that's
no refund.
No refund.
They took our money.
They take everybody's money.
So wait, so they like cars? Are they worried that you're going to go off track and start wiggling around or something?
I think what it is, that's like red sand out there, red dirt.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people probably go out there on Harleys and get them stuck.
Yeah. I mean, that was the
That was the picture. I've been through there.
Yeah.
It's one of the most beautiful places.
We made it down like into like I said, I don't know how far into it. And here comes this big bike.
I had no idea that it was no motorcycles.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
They let us through with the gate. Like we paid to get in.
I've been through that.
And they said, okay, have a good time. Right. And I'm like,
well, what authority was this lady? Just Native American?
I think so.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, what she was exactly.
Maybe she's just a Karen.
She was like, screaming at Dave.
Nah, she wasn't just a Karen.
You're like, where's your credentials?
Because
here's my credentials. That's my receipt that says I paid $48 to drive this fucking thing.
Yeah.
I was rudely awakened one time at Moab when I found out that when you pay for access to the park, it's not also, you don't just get to camp. it's like, no, that's for the road. That's for the loop.
Yeah.
You just paid to go in and do the loop. Mm-hmm. It's basically you're buying a one-day ticket for that. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lifetime pass for the Metro Parks now or the National Parks now, but I didn't back then. So I was like, oh, that's cool. Hey, that seems like a great place to camp.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And so I was rolled up and I was like, I found a nice little spot where nobody's looking for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is perfect. Do some primitive camping. Just me and the KLR. It's going to be perfect. Yep. Oh yeah,
they chased you right out.
Oh, I got the knock. I got the knock at about 4 o'clock in the morning. I think that they know who goes and comes out, right?
Yeah,
they keep track of who goes and comes out. So at any moment, they know how many vehicles are on the loop. Like,
sure,
it's not a guessing game.
Yeah,
if they lose somebody for more than a day, they know what to look for.
Yeah,
and so I know that guy knew exactly where I was because they know everything like the back of their hand. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. And I think he waited until 4 o'clock in the morning to get the maximum effect. So he came out and bright flashlight, whole deal, Ford Bronco, bright lights aiming at me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the heat of the light on my face. Mm-hmm. It woke me up. And he goes...
Well, what he probably did is he left a note and a pin for the shift change because he went to bed early.
That's brilliant. Dude, this guy was super no sense of humor. And so I was like, I was like, man, I was in here riding. It got super dark. It's super dangerous in here. Man, did you realize how many turns there are? It just got dangerous. I couldn't see around the corners. Dumb. Some animals kept coming out at me. I didn't trust that. And I said, did you guys know you have donkeys out here? You have actual donkeys out here. Oh, no, those are burros.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, they're donkeys. And the guy was like, yeah, you got to go. You got to leave. And I was like, you can't give me a couple of more hours till the sun comes up. It's pretty dangerous out there. He goes, it's okay, you can follow me.
Really?
He did.
My blood is going to be on your hands.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about
that. I was going for the whole, like, it's not safe.
Didn't try to slip into my 50 and say, listen, I got to go back to sleep.
I don't know about donkeys or burros, but there's definitely jackasses.
Yeah, right. He was nice enough to give me 20 or 30 minutes to pack up my shit.
Sir, I'm peeing from the butt. If you can just leave me alone.
He was going. But you know what? He led me the whole way. Obviously.
Sure.
Just drove the whole way out. And it's, it's where I was, it's like 18 miles if you go left or 18 miles if you go right. It's a fucking circle, right? And so I was like, okay, this is going to be fine. And he led me out. It's great. So I sat out there and I was like, oh, man. I'm just going to get outside the gate.
Because,
it's...
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I ran outside the gate, put your tent up, go back
there, right there. Because Moab is a town of motels.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a town of hotels and shit like that. There's like, you can't sleep for free anywhere in that place.
So I mistakenly learned that your one-day ticket, the national parks, does not buy you an overnight stay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like one of the things that I think, like you have to make smart choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that like Pete and his friend were doing the Washington BDR a week after we had done it,
mm-hmm.
and they got snow and ice, and so it was time to turn around.
Yeah.
I didn't really make that choice as much as it was made for me.
Scheduling was made
you're
for
going. No. I looped the bike out in a snowy, like, downhill. Yeah. It was icy, and it was horrible. And we're like, okay, if we go down this hill, we might not get up the other side to get out of the valley. We might not be able to backtrack. We're going to be in there a little while. Mm-hmm. So let's turn around now.
Wow. Good. Yeah. I mean, that's a good move.
Yeah, because if it's snowing, don't keep going up.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
That was my Lake Tahoe experience. It was like first week of October, and I was like, oh, it's beautiful. God, mm-hmm. it's gorgeous here. It's fucking fantastic. This is the best thing ever. Tomorrow, when this place is in full light, it's going to look spectacular.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
16 inches of snow later.
Yeah.
Guess I'm not going fucking anywhere today, mm-hmm. am I?
Yeah.
Yeah, 16 inches of snow in the first week of October. Yep, that's what happened. Got to spend two more days in a $395 hotel.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little ouchy. That hurt.
That's another thing, you know, you got to prepare for everything. And especially when we did Utah, and I'm like, I'm looking at the forecast, the extended forecast. I'm like, man, it's going to be great out there, you know. Last couple days, you know, when the sun goes down, you're in those valleys, it gets cold in the mountains, you know.
Cold, man.
And that happened again when we were in South Carolina the last day.
Oh, did you guys get...
It was 31 degrees in the morning when we woke up, okay?
Yeah.
And again, Dave's bike had trouble. He had to crank on the choke as much as he could because the bike didn't want to start. In Utah, the bikes were frozen.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't want to start. You know?
Wow.
So you got to pack.
Warm your carburetor up with a cigarette lighter.
Well, it works.
And
a blowtorch.
And you got to have good gear. Like your clothing has to be appropriate. And this year, I've invested in some waterproof gear.
That was going
to
be my next question.
And because I've always had the stuff where you've got the layers, and you got to mm-hmm. put on the overlayer, and it's such a pain in the ass.
I'm on board with what Mark. He's got this great setup. And
did anybody commit a climb crime?
No, it's MSR out of Rocky Mountain ATV. They got that. New adventure stuff is amazing. It works great.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Meanwhile, which jacket did you get?
They have two different lines of the MSR stuff, and I got the adventure one. That's the higher level mm-hmm. stuff. And I actually nothing bad to say about it. Loved it. It crashes well too. So.
Get that out of the way first.
Yeah, because it has in all is the it impact D3O? Zones. It has D3O, mm-hmm. but I actually pulled most of that out.
Mm-hmm.
I did leave the back protector in, and I wear an armored Alpenstars jacket underneath, mm-hmm. so it's got a little bit better coverage in the forearms.
Right.
But it's got like impact material in all the impact zones. Mm-hmm. It has cinch on the back of the arm, so you can tighten that up.
Oh yes.
It's super super well engineered. I really like it a lot.
Speaking of armor on the arms, I got a bruise on my right bicep the size of a golf ball because Nolan likes to like roost when he's.
If nobody's wearing chest protectors, nobody's allowed to roost.
Yeah.
That's just how it works.
He got you with a rock.
Right? He sprays, you better pray.
Well, right.
Yeah.
You're out there, if we're all just going to be adventuring, we can't be throwing rocks on each other.
Right.
Yeah. It's not going to end the trip well. It's going to be a fucking problem.
Because you get in all different types of terrain.
Exactly.
The first day we were on when Pete kind of had like a little slip out. It was stuff that I've never seen before. It was just red, sandy, gooey because it got wet, and it was not hard. It was like soupy when you mm-hmm. stood in it. It was like
it had potters, this, like potter's clay.
It's Carolina clay.
It's sandy clay.
This is again Asheville. Basically, is built on potter's clay,
and you can't prepare for that anywhere else in the world. Until like that's the first time we were riding on it. You better get used to it for a little bit, you know.
I'm guessing this was creating breaks.
That was
that was in the 36 degree gusts. Yeah, that was.
I look out there, and that parking lot is so empty. But mm-hmm. you guys are out there making breaks.
Well, we didn't do it right in front of the hotel. We went around the side of the hotel, and then just in the background there is a lovely establishment where we dined by the name of Cracker Barrel. It was so cold, and there was nothing around there. We're like. fuck it, we're going to the Cracker Barrel.
There was and a gas station, like, a hotel, and a Cracker Barrel.
I'm shocked you didn't bring the bike in the room to do maintenance in the hotel room.
This was a real establishment. This was like, I don't remember what kind of a hotel it was.
But Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah, I mean, I brought bikes into rooms before, but
we were on the second floor. This was a
little too nice for that. Yeah. It wasn't going to fit in the elevator.
No. They might have stopped us when we rolled through the lobby.
So the game plan that I've generally used in the past is I will find the hotel that's where I want it to be.
Yeah.
And the price I want to pay.
Yeah.
And then I'll do Google Street and I'll look at it and see if it has the doors by each room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Excellent. And then you call and you tell them that you need an ADA room.
Yeah.
So you got to have an ADA room. You got to have a disabled room. Mm-hmm. And they're always like, oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah.
That was easy to do with Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
Yeah. He did that. I pulled that.
Shows up with his kickstand. Yeah.
We had trouble negotiating the price of a room a couple of times. Greg's pretty good. He was working pretty hard. And then we were there the night that they changed the clocks forward.
Mm-hmm.
So wow. I was like, do we get like a discount? Yeah. we're getting shorter than an hour. Yeah. I thought that was a pretty clever approach, but they weren't biting.
Yeah. Usually we'll do like, I'll be like, well, you know, I'm traveling in the military. If you guys do the military government employee discount.
Yeah.
Okay, great. What about you guys do Golden Buckeye or senior citizens or anything? Oh, cool. Fantastic. AAA. And they're like, pick one. I'm like, well, I'm not going to pick one. I'm going to use as many as I can. Yeah. And they're like, no, you can only use one. I'm like, well, which one's the best one?
I'll take the half off then.
Right. I'll take the doubler.
Right. Yeah. Whatever it is. Give me the... Because I have all the things.
Yeah.
Right. We've got all the credentials. Parking lot, cold as balls, Cracker Barrel. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doing a little midnight maintenance, a little late night maintenance. Mm-hmm. Any other breakdowns? Anybody else have a problem? Because that's really not a problem. That's just like your brakes went away.
Right. Yeah. No, we didn't really have any. No. There's nothing broken. Nobody got, you know.
And keep in mind, he test rode the bike a little here before we loaded it up, but what, a couple miles maybe? You didn't this thing before we took it on a 1,200-mile ride.
Yeah. I mean, this was 800 miles into it. So.
Yeah.
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 I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yep.
Yeah. That's cool. I just love the whole idea that you guys have got an extremely diverse bunch of bikes.
Yeah.
Right? So you got something from each category. That's pretty cool. And then the other thing is, you guys cranked out fucking a lot of miles.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, there's no slouch, any of that. There's no slouch whatsoever. Just because I'm dying to know, what the fuck is the deal with this place that looks like it got hit by a hurricane?
Well, that was next door to a gas station we stopped at. So we stopped and got fuel and we ate some snacks, you know, whatever. And this was right down the road from it. So we just drove
over. Was the food good there?
Yes, it was excellent.
I mean, it's available
for purchase if you'd like.
50 years ago, that place was probably nice, you know. But no, I mean, that was right next to a gas station that was like this tiny little shanty gas station that really nice people.
This place probably did a lot of business at some point
back
in its life.
100 years ago? Yeah, oh yeah. That was the spot right there.
Last Tuesday, that's where the ladies set up at night.
And actually, if you look... And I'm holding an F.
I was going to say, that makes me wonder.
It said cafe, and the F had fallen in the roof. In the channel? I picked it up, and I go, Dave, you want... He always, you know, wants goofy stuff, you know. It was a super flimsy plastic. He's like, it's not going to survive the trip. It probably wouldn't have. It was like so just like brittle, you know. But I picked it up and I left it by the... We just took the picture and I left it by the pillar.
Yeah. That's a great picture. I love that.
But this day, I think, was also the day that we kept leapfrogging bicyclists because there was a bicycle event.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
And they were putting in some pretty decent miles and it was taking us a while to catch up with them after they had passed
us. So our route, and we were following this route, and it was around like a big lake, right?
Yeah.
And there's these up and down these hills. It was great. But we'd see these guys on mountain bikes. And keep in mind, it's drizzling. It's not raining hard, but it's raining to the point where if you're on a bike, you're getting soaked. Because these guys weren't wearing...
Not going to stay dry.
They weren't wearing rain gear.
No, they're wearing fucking...
They're wearing a bicycle outfit.
Silks.
Seriously. They're wearing a bicycle outfit. They got mud all up their back like they crap themselves. And so we would pass them on these little trails, you know, real nice, beeping the horn, you know. Wasn't flying past them, and then you'd see the same two guys like a couple miles later. We must have been doing a loop like this, but they were doing a little cut through. So when we came back this way, we'd see them again, you know. And there was like probably 20 of them, but they were spread out. So you'd go this way, and then you'd see these guys, and you come back, and they were troopers. I don't know how they were doing these up and down hills and just mud. Yeah. Like The one guy rides by, we were just pulled off to the side of the road taking a pee.
Right.
The guy goes, you want to trade bikes? No.
Not at all.
No. Nope. Not even keep your pedal bike.
1 year, we're doing like the bullshit, like all the Moonshiners, Charahola, all those things. And so we tied them all together and made like a 3-day out of it, right? So we're out there and we managed to realize that we were running the route the exact same way that the bicyclists were running the route to the T. So we would ride on, stop and get a lunch, and we'd know that it was time for us to go when the pedal parade would go by. The pedal parade would go by, and we'd be like, all right, well, I guess that's time to go. You know, light them up, boys, let's go. And we'd go out, we'd pass them all, and then we'd proceed gaily forward until we got to like, okay, this seems like a good spot. And we'd stop, we'd have dinner, and again, standing outside, having a beer, having a smoke, whatever, and then here comes these guys on the pedals again. And we're like, Jesus fucking Christ. And they're like, yeah, but think about it. They're covering the exact same ground that we're covering.
Right.
They're not stopping for food or cigarettes or beer or anything. But look at how like intensely in shape they are. And they're seeing
those
the same
poor bastards.
Yeah, right.
They're seeing the same trees we're seeing, the same they're seeing the same rivers we're seeing. They're seeing the same bears we're seeing, right? They're seeing all the same shit.
So hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Speaking of bears.
Yeah.
We would pee on bridges thanks to you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Did anybody get eaten by a bear?
No.
Fucking works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
South Carolina black bears aren't gonna bother you.
Doesn't matter. Never gonna find out.
But it is a nice view off a bridge.
It is. Peeing off a bridge is excellent, isn't it? You're like, this is
except for the guy underneath the bridge.
Yeah. Ah, he's a hobo. He don't matter. Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing that my whole fucking life now. I will always be like, oh, I'm not sure. I'm just gonna pee off the bridge. It's cool.
It became a running joke.
It's pretty solid. Hey, I'm glad to be a part of that.
Yeah, every time was like, oh, we got to pee. So let's stop and pee. Like, well, we're not on a bridge.
How are we going to pee? Like, you turned it the other way now.
How the hell are we going to piss? There's no bridge here.
Not even bears, though, too. But like, if you're in the middle of a place you don't know anybody, you know you're not getting attacked because you can see both
you
sides
can
of
see
it.
Wait a minute. Tactically speaking, you see a very long way in a bridge.
Right.
Right.
Phil had asked me if we saw any wildlife. I said we saw an armadillo in the road. But didn't a bird fly into you?
Oh, yeah, I killed a bird.
Yeah, you killed a bird. We saw wildlife.
Bird strike took out your left engine.
We were talking about it. He goes, yeah, I've hit a couple birds. And then, a little bit later, he goes, I just killed another bird.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It hit my right hand.
Yeah.
And then Dave was riding behind me. He goes, you just killed a bird. I said, I felt something hit my hand.
Yeah. Oh,
he didn't even see it,
And so, but you didn't guys run into anything out in the woods?
Oh, we saw turkeys. We saw deer.
Yeah.
We saw armadillos.
I think
a lot of vultures.
It's springtime there. So
there were a lot of wild turkeys, yeah. Oh, no, you almost hit a deer.
Yeah, we saw quite a few deer.
Yeah, but you almost hit that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like first day.
And then I got a really good sighting of a bald eagle, too. It was flying right down the road in front of me, like right through the cut. Like,
oh, nice.
Following the trail. So it was like 50. I was in the front. He was like 50 yards ahead of me, and he was just kind of going the same speed as we were and flying away from us, and it must have lasted for 30 seconds or something.
Patriot boner.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
there was America. There was one town we rode through, and it was like just a tiny little postage stamp town, but there's a big water tower, and I just happened to look up at the water tower, and you know, like the square tubing that goes around where the water is here, and you know, there was vultures. All the way around, like the whole thing, it was a big light blue water tower, and it was covered in black vultures. And I'm like, or like, you know, crows or whatever.
Right.
These things, I'm like, they were gigantic. I'm like, something's dead around here.
Yeah,
they're waiting to eat something.
Or something's about to be dead around here.
They got the...
Yeah. They've been watching Margaret go in and out of work every day for the past 30 years, going, she's going to drop one here. Yeah, that's it.
There's the turkey vultures out at work because the highest point in Oberlin is a dump.
It is.
So the BFI dump out there, and like you just look up in the sky and see
a
100 of them just riding the thermals and stuff.
That is my absolute thing, but I've now at the point where I'm doing overnight, if I'm doing primitive camping, like I used to be like, I don't give a shit about animals. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I don't care about animals. I've become very much aware of animals now because I've seen how much damage they can do to your primitive camp. Because the one thing that I've always made the mistake of, like, I will have food.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have food. I'm set up so I can have a little bit of something to eat before I go to bed, and I might have a little bit of something to eat when I wake up. I like taking a little camp stove with me.
You know, I like doing that.
Well, that's the thing. If you cook, you know, I've they're going to smell your cooking. You know, even if you've got like paper towels that you wash your hands with or you wipe your the grease from your food
impossible.
And you have it outside, they're going to smell that.
It's from miles away.
Yeah.
That's their game.
Yep.
And it's the funniest thing for us, you know, when you're doing primitive camping, you're out in the woods and you're just thinking like, okay, what's going to be the biggest problem I have this weekend? Is it going to be staying warm? Is it going to be staying dry? Or is it going to be, I planned on being here for 4 days and a fucking animal, like, you know, or seven raccoons wearing a trench coat came into my campsite and just stole everything.
Yeah,
they'll open like zippers on your saddlebags and stuff. I mean, I've been ripped off by raccoons numerous times.
I'm going to promise you, I was so fucking ripped off in Costa Rica by a monkey. Right, that had the help of other monkeys.
Yeah,
and I know somebody trained him because that guy was too good. He had spotters. They were working as a team.
He stole your wallet.
Took
your identity.
My phone.
Yeah.
Oh,
social security number.
He'd already opened up. He'd already opened an OnlyFans account. Yeah, in my name. Right.
He's buying parts for his bike.
I got back to the hotel. He had a Pornhub account.
Mr. Waters, it seems that you've ordered 26,000 pounds of peanuts. Is this...
Where would you like all these bananas delivered?
Yep.
But I promise you, I have a whole new, I'm aware of animals now.
Sure.
Because I wasn't before. Now I'm aware of animals.
You know what? I'm surprised, like, when you camp at Mid-Ohio, the only thing you got to be aware of is where to find the clean outhouse and stay away from Kentucky Corner. But there's animals around there. Oh, I'm surprised they don't come out more, all the people that have food and stuff
No. They pay them to stay on the other side of the fence.
Right.
We have had Mid-Ohio's before where we did have raccoons.
Yeah.
And
or skunks. When the rain hits, a lot of times the skunks come out.
We've had nights where we were sitting, John and I were up, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning and just kind of like, the fuck is that noise? Who's... And
I mean, you'd think they would be
hit him with the spotlight
coming from all around.
Eight sets of eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My favorite animal spotting at Mid-Ohio was in my campsite. There's a little chirper frog living there because we were kind of in a low spot and it rained like a motherfucker. And was like, there was like this nice little water hole and it's like all night long. I'm like, look at that fucking.
Hey, that's
living in a swamp.
That's pretty good. Well, we were living in a swamp. Pretty bad. Pretty fucking bad for days.
Living in the swamp.
So, what's the next trip going to be? Because this is a pretty great trip. This is fucking epic.
It was such... I mean, I wouldn't say it was thrown together, but it was kind of like...
I'm looking at that map. I'll pull that map up again. That wasn't thrown together.
No. I mean, they got the maps on the GPS and all that. Right. But it was... We were just deciding, hey, like, what looks cool? Where the weather going to be cooperating? Which it did for the most part. The
plan was not to have a plan.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was pretty like, great. Let's just pick a spot and do it. It wasn't like really research thought out. Mm-hmm. It was like, this looks cool. Let's go try that. So
it was close enough to home. It was I said, it was about an 8-hour drive getting down there. And Dave had done some research ahead of time and found a used kind of place where we could park the truck and trailer for the week. It was secured. Mm-hmm. There was cameras there. It was well lit and everything.
We didn't have to worry about it.
It was inexpensive. So when we pulled up there, it was just on the south side of Charlotte, so we got through Charlotte at a good time on the way down there. It was like 3 o'clock, so we didn't have to deal with any Charlotte rush hour. Mm-hmm. There was some traffic, but we parked the truck, and I think we were rolling within 45 minutes from the time we parked there. And then we did our ride, came back to the truck, and everything worked out pretty well. A couple speed bumps, you know, we hadn't traveled together a lot, some of us.
We had to kind of work that out, had a little conversation in the parking lot.
Yeah, there was a couple times where
expectations.
There was some friction or different ideas for how anyone that's ridden with me knows I'm like mission oriented. Right. It's like full steam ahead. I don't like to have like moss growing under me.
Right. Yeah,
and I'm going to keep moving until the gas tank's empty.
So. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I got to pee.
Right.
Really? No, you're not peeing. Hold it in. Well, we actually, and the one thing we're on the way home.
You see a bridge?
We're flying, man. We're flying. And we get to a point where it's dead stopped, and we're not moving.
Oh,
and there's no friggin' exits. You know what happened? Freaking car stopped at like the Easy Pass, whatever, and another car smashed in the back of them. Mm. Another car smashed, and there was a gigantic fire in the toll booth.
Holy!
So this is on the way home.
Right.
You know, truck and trailer were loaded
things
up.
Things are dangerous,
and we're just stopping, and we're like,
We had to be like 2 to 3 minutes behind this happening too,
because
the traffic jam we got in was about 2 or 3 miles long.
Okay,
I don't know how long it was behind us.
Forever. Yeah, if we would have left 10 minutes earlier, we wouldn't have saw it.
But
we wouldn't have been in it.
There's 6 toll booths there. 5 of them were closed. They had 1 lane open.
Yeah.
And in front of us was some of those trailers carrying like modular homes or something. So I don't know how they even squeezed those guys through.
Mm-hmm.
But it took us 2 hours to get through that jam.
Yeah.
And when we went through, there's a burned out shell of a car sitting there.
2 of them. In the toll booth like this.
Yeah.
And there was another car that was a little ahead that you could tell its bumper was smashed in. So it was a couple of cars that were involved. 2 cars were just engulfed. I mean, they were just, the whole tow booth was closed down. You know.
We looked it up when we got home. It was a triple fatality.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so it was a pretty substantial incident. So that was the only downside of the trip for us, was that we had to witness that and getting jammed up in it. But we pressed home, and we got home at, we would have been home like at 8 at night, and we ended up with getting home at 10:30 at night.
Mm-hmm. You guys all using Cardos or Sennas?
Senna. Sennas? Yeah, we all had Senna mesh units.
Mesh units, yeah.
Yeah, the mesh is the way to go.
It is. Sure. It stretches your range out so much. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that mesh system, that's what I've got, the Senna 10C. And it's amazing to me how well it picks people up.
I will say one of the cool things that we ended up using a couple times. Now, we're on the road 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We don't pull into our hotel or where we're going to stay until 4 or 5.
Okay.
So think about your comm is on all the
time. Oh, yeah, you got to have a battery back.
Right.
Yeah.
So Pete had a couple of these Ryobi batteries that have the C. You could charge them up.
Right.
But they work for like a power tool, right?
Yeah, like a cordless ratchet that uses these. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many volts they are, but the things like the diameter of a C battery, but maybe like twice as long as a C battery.
Right.
It's a stick battery. It's 3 milliamps, and we would charge them up at night, and then when your combo would go dead, because the combo would last 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah. Right.
Some of the days we were out on the road for 12 hours.
Right.
So then you could just put this little battery in your pocket, run the cord right up to your helmet, and boom.
Yeah, it worked great.
That way you're not tethered to the bike with cables anymore.
Especially if it's a battery you already have. Because I can use my Anker battery, so I've got a nice flat, you know, Anker. And with a 10C... Because I'm doing, you know, you got all kinds of stuff. You got camera, you got video, you can do all that stuff through one device. But what it doesn't have is it doesn't have a particularly big battery. Like having the video camera and the still camera built into it, I think they sacrifice some battery space.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So,
I mean, there's a lot of bikes that have like where you could, you know, on your dash.
Oh, yeah.
And a USB and this and that. Right. We're talking a C to a C cord.
Right.
And when you're plugging into your helmet, so you don't want to run a cord from your helmet up to the handlebars, you know. Right. So these little batteries, you put them right in the zipper pocket of your jacket, and you didn't even know it was plugged in, but you were fine.
Yeah.
You were on a, then you'd get to the thing, you recharge the battery the next day, and if you need it, you know.
My wife just got new heated socks for snowboarding and skiing, and she got these new heated socks, and the battery pack for them is like
a 12-volt car battery.
Oh, it's so perfect. It's small. Tiny thing. It's curved.
Mm-hmm.
It carries a remarkable amount of energy. But the great thing is that nobody ever says you got to use them for just the socks, right? So you can take them with you. But here's my favorite thing is they have a wireless remote control for them. So you can use it with an app or you can use it with a little handheld button control. And I was like, that's a pretty good idea because when you turn this thing off, it literally turns off the battery pack so that you're not using any electricity at all if it's turned off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, that's brilliant because you have the little remote control then. So you've got a battery pack, it's feeding electricity out, but if you want to shut it off, you just literally hit the button and shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's pretty smart. You can remotely turn on or turn off a battery pack.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a clever thing for a $29 pair of socks on closeout. I was like, yeah, the battery packs are worth $29.
Oh, yeah. It was a lifesaver. And like, if you're going on these extended rides and you get into some, you know, trouble or whatever, you got to plan for the worst, you know? And if we didn't have those little batteries to recharge the headsets, it'd be a lot of stopping and yelling or honking your horn. And
don't make hand signals.
Yeah, hand signals. Right. Hey, stop. Right. You know, need something. But you said about when's the next adventure?
What's your next adventure?
David just sent me this morning, there's a thing called the Fool's Ride down in Steubenville. We did this last year. This guy, Kane. What's the...
Appalachian Adventure.
Okay.
And this guy, it's... So you pay for the weekend,
It's at this guy's property. Last year there was 124 people that did it, and the year before we found out that there was only 25 people that did it because it was a snowstorm that weekend.
Oh, okay.
And it was crazy cold and right. crazy muddy and all this stuff. But last year, when me and Dave signed up for it, we didn't know what we were doing. You know, we never did this before. Just stuff on the internet, looking it up and everything. That weekend happened to be, the whole weekend, it was like every day was 80-something degrees.
Oh, wow.
It was gorgeous.
In April. So, that's why he calls it the Fool's yeah, Rise, because right. it's yeah. in April.
Right. April 1st, you know. But, yeah. So... last year, this guy, he opens up his property. He's got beautiful hills. He's got a lake. He's got a gigantic garage that he has set up with tables and chairs. And every morning,
really?
They have breakfast for you. Every night, they have dinner for you.
Okay.
You can have bonfires. You can camp.
Right.
You know, primitive. You know, right. they got a shower kind of set up. You know, it's not the greatest. They have porta potties. They have guided rides every day, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can pick an intermediate, a beginner, or an expert ride. The expert ride, you kind of go to Wellsville,
okay,
and you get into some shit.
Right.
These guys were talking like there was some the mud and up and downhill and this yeah. that. Me and Dave did the more intermediate, like mm-hmm. you know, some off road stuff, but more just back roads, mm-hmm. you know, because we never, you know, it was a lot. It was real dusty,
right?
80 degrees,
yeah.
It's hot and dusty, so we're eating dust. We're in a pack of like, you know, maybe 10, 12 guys mm-hmm. riding on these back roads eating dust. So that's coming up in April. I'm trying to get some guys to go to that because it's amazing. Like
sounds
I said, it's guided.
Yeah.
These guys, you know, they have these guides that have done it before.
Right.
All the wives of the guides
mm-hmm.
cook the food.
Oh,
it's man. Gorgeous. And then they have a bunch of raffle prizes and door prizes right. and all this stuff. We ended up taking, me and Dave took a bunch of stuff home last year. It was like, wow, this is great, you know?
That's
so worth it, yeah.
Okay,
that's the next thing.
That's a good good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Close to home.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's fantastic. You can do, just knock it out. Just go.
Yeah, and that's like I said, if you go the one day and ride, you know, just the intermediate, you know, mm-hmm. yeah, they're saying, yeah. The next day, you go sign up with the expert guys and you just, yeah, let's go crazy.
Ah, cool. You know? Well, and you only need to ride until you can't ride anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Turn around and go
mm-hmm.
home.
Yeah. So you see all these guys talking about how much fun they had and they're going and like, what's the equation here? It's like all the dudes going, right?
What's that?
You know, this is like four guys.
Yeah.
Not the wives and everything, right?
Well,
No, yeah. Because like, so we're going to be going on our trip in a right. couple of weeks.
Yeah.
All the dudes.
Right.
And then John's bringing his wife and kids now.
Whoa.
Hey.
Well. They can hang. That's it.
There was gotta bust his balls a little bit.
Right? You don't want to spend time with them than you.
Right. That makes me sad. Who am I going to snuggle with?
Man? I was just going to say.
They're staying in a separate Airbnb. They're just riding down with me.
Oh, they're not even staying in
here.
So we're still going to have snuggle time?
You're going to snuggle the fuck out of you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I was worried about.
We used to go to all these races.
He eats his big spoon.
The only time we would see them is maybe they might be just for a dinner or something.
Okay, that's fine.
And then I would like to do Pigeon Forge with them. I want to do a mountain coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to wrench.
Schlitterbahn!
Piper likes slingshots for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They're 21. I'm going to make her drive a slingshot.
Sleepy, those are riding days for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do whatever the fuck you
want. Well, I want to. The mountain coaster sounds kind of cool, actually. That sounds
good. We're going to go to the Titanic.
Again.
You're also going to head to the top of the hill to get the Bass Pro shop up right. there?
Yeah, get to the top of the hill. Last time I was at Pigeon Forge, it was a 3-mile parking lot.
Yeah, it's a shit show.
It's always a parking lot.
Yeah.
And I was like, delivering
with Gatlinburg. Gatlinburg's where we got stuck in traffic and you couldn't go.
I know.
Pigeon Forge yeah. is more wide open yeah. and there are parking lots where yeah. people can pull in.
Well, the Titanic was Pigeon Forge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I got to look at the Titanic for about 45 minutes.
That's the best thing.
How many times did you wash the sink?
Yeah.
That's the best thing about adventure riding is like, you know, you stay away from like the destinations.
Yeah.
Like, stay away from like, oh, this is the major tourist attraction right. area. No, we're not going there. We're going on this road that, like, who knows if the bridge is out or whatever. You know?
The closest thing we got to like civilization was the night we stayed in Anderson, which is close to Clemson University there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little bit of like college town vibe there. And
there was a carnival going on.
Yeah, there was some sort
of. They were doing keg shots, just
We were at Dayton University last weekend, and that's a party school.
It's geared up.
Like all the the housing is a lot of like these little tiny bungalows with four people living in them.
Yeah.
And they all have like beer pong tables out in the front yard. It was just like left and right. I'm like, dude,
the good old days.
Higher learning.
Old old school too.
Right. Old school too.
Starring John McElfresh.
That's it. I've been to Sturgis four times. Two times I went to Sturgis, 1992, 1993, to do Sturgis, the Sturgis, right? So I did that, 92, 93, and that got it out of my system, and I was guaranteed never to go back ever again during Bike Week.
Right.
So two times I went back to Sturgis, not during Bike Week. It's fucking amazing.
Right.
It's just brilliant.
Yeah.
It's one of the nicest places to ride a motorcycle.
I've never been there during Bike Week, but I've been there plenty of times at other times of the year, and it is a nice area. Well, that's where we did that BDRX last fall at when we did the Black Hills BDRX out there.
I imagine it's a lot like Mardi Gras, where for how Sturgis is, what, a week, two?
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
So that one or two, that one event.
That pays all the bills.
Literally pays all the bills.
Pays all the bills.
Anybody that doesn't want to give a fuck, like, goes on vacation.
They leave. They just go
away.
They
fuck off.
They just go away.
Rent their house, Airbnb.
Daytona's just happening right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, Daytona's one of those places where everybody in the city of Daytona has now said, you know, you guys don't ever need to come back.
Well, and that was one of the things when we were doing our adventure ride. We'd see, especially on the way down there or on different roads, we'd see cars, trucks with big baggers on trailers.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
And the bagger is like all American flags and eagles.
Yep.
And you know, you got the guy and the truck looks like it's, you know, in half like this, but he's towing this trailer with this bike. They're going to Daytona to sit at that bar, you know. Like, I've been asked a bunch of times, do you want to go to Sturgis? And I'm like, honestly, no. I don't. Like, I would go there for the riding, but there's nothing in me that says I want to go and sit and pay and drink and
I can watch. I can drink
Greg, the girls, they pull their boobs out.
I can drink Bud Light in the parking lot of a giant eagle. I can literally drink Bud Light in the parking lot of a giant eagle and get the same experience.
No. And I'm sorry if, you know, like,
no part of it appeals to me whatsoever.
You don't want to see Tab live.
don't like. And the thing is too, he's like,
what was the band name?
I feel bad.
Jackal. Hey, you're degrading Jackal now. This is like, no, Sturgis is like Lynyrd Skynyrd cover bands.
Yeah.
Like, not even Lynyrd Skynyrd, the remaining three members of Lynyrd Skynyrd
cover bands. When I was at Sturgis, it was all of them.
Right. Well they're not alive anymore, so.
No, but I mean, it was.
Yeah.
1990s
bands. If I wanted to see Kid,
1992 Sturgis was empty out the jukebox because they're all here.
Yeah, right.
It was all of them.
If I wanted to see Kid Rock, I'd shoot myself.
Yeah. David Allen Coe, and it was the whole thing.
He's like, in the parking lot drunk.
Well, they had the show, what was it, Full Throttle Saloon?
Yeah.
Where it was like, hey, we're showing you Sturgis, and it was the guy from Jack or whatever, and it's like, nothing about this makes me want to go there and like experience this place.
No.
The drunk bartenders.
This is just like an advertisement to stay away.
Right?
You'll get COVID for sure.
Right.
And it won't go away ever. You'll come back with something else that won't go away.
Well, they showed that show is actually really good about showing how petty every dude there is.
Oh, absolutely.
And how many fights happen because a guy stepped on another guy's toe.
Dude, I've got like 12 skulls on my bike. Dude, I've got 14. Like, I don't need that.
The sea of black street glides.
It's called brotherhood.
Yeah,
brotherhood.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, showing off your brand new Harley and all that such, and, you know, going to the local bike night and.
Let's see what your 72 months of payments get you.
We were at the Quaker Steak and Lube when they broke their record for 5,000 motorcycles in their parking lot.
Oh God!
And remember, it's like. Hey, you notice they didn't say 5,000 Harleys, because I'm looking at our group of idiots, and we represented non-douchebag bike night.
I was there with my mini bike.
Yeah, we had four Vespas, three mini bikes, a bunch of other weird shit, and they were just like power hating us. Mm-hmm. Just everywhere.
Oh yeah,
like, you know, you got to park in the back, and I was like, no,
yeah,
we're gonna park here.
Yeah,
we're
gonna
park right here. Because it's a shorter walk.
Sure.
Yeah. And then we was like, just realized this is the dumbest thing ever. So we started doing non-douchebag bike night.
Right.
The same night as Quaker Steak and Lube, because all the real bars were devoid of assholes.
Yeah.
Right. So all the places you actually wanted to go and hang out in.
Actually kind of is a benefit.
Like, huh. check this out. That's, you can go to Whiskey Island and there's not one asshole rub, there. You just like enjoy yourself because mm-hmm. they're all at Quaker Steak and Lube.
That's mm-hmm. why me and my wife, we take a big thing about highlighting all the sports ball championships yes. and games.
Yes.
And then those are Costco days.
That's Costco day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
the only day. Yeah, right.
It's, you know, yeah. any, and I, the,
it's
I,
shopping.
I will
Armageddon style.
I will right. always say New Orleans, but the reality is any major sporting event, I assume when you walk into the Safeway or the Giant Eagle, they're going to have the game on the microphones that everybody that works there who follows the game can follow it. But the rest of the time, you can walk down the aisles at leisure.
I still am going to say, staying in the mountains of Tennessee, staying in a hostel, not a hostel, the people that work there insisted on calling it, y'all staying down at the hostel, right?
The hostel.
And I'm like, you mean a hostel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The hostel. Is this an area dialect? I'm not familiar with. The sign says hostel, yeah. and there's 12 of us yeah. sleeping in essentially a bunkhouse
yeah.
with one bathroom right in the middle. That's a hostel.
Yeah.
Well, right? you can't be hostile towards each other if you're sharing a bathroom.
The hostel.
Yeah.
And Dustin thought for sure that was just one person being dumb. So then Dustin, everywhere we went after that, was like, yeah, so do any other bikers, is there any other place where bikers stay down here other than, you know, down there by the corner? You mean the hostel? And Dustin was like, and so Dustin then would just start quizzing people,
yeah.
random people, and he's like, no, shit, nice. They all call it the hostel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we shall also call it the hostel.
Yep. I mean, and it is some amazing branding.
Yep. We decided to call it the hostel the rest of the time we were there, and at the Rheingeist Brewery thing that we just went to, one of our listeners who hasn't heard us in 12 years comes up and he goes, I was at that rally.
Yeah.
And I was like, bullshit. And he goes, no, I stayed at the hostel. And I was like, then you were at that rally. Then you know. And he goes, oh, yeah, you know, I was there.
That area down there, though, like every year when we go down there and like you get the Airbnb, we get an Airbnb yeah. usually in the mountains. Now, when you wake up and you have the sun coming up on the mountain, yeah. that is a beautiful
fucking
area.
There's a reason people retire there. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Coffee in the morning looking over at the fucking mountains.
Just
the
wonderful.
Fog coming in and stuff. It's beautiful. Yeah. Man.
Every time I've taken somebody down there to go for a riding trip or something like that, take them down, and there was, yeah, really? But, you know, I've heard it's kind of rednecky.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it is not even slightly rednecky.
No, and
it
the rednecks in Tennessee, unless yeah. you're, I don't know, maybe really deep in some fucking hollow, but most of them are super fucking nice anyways. Like, super nice.
Sleepy.
It's
sleepy.
Oh.
Holler.
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 Holler. No, holla is I a
bread. Holla is a bread. Kind of holla. Holla is a bread.
It's a kind of holla
who
bread.
Who lives in the fucking sticks and who holler. Lives in the fucking city thing
well,
there?
But
you want to see my
to the point.
Yeah. To the point.
Everywhere we went, and somebody was like, mm-hmm. "Oh yeah, you know that's all super rednecks down there." I'm like, "No, it is really not. It is fantastic. Some of the best food I've ever eaten. It is straight up like there's a hotel that's been back in these woods by this dam for 130 years that has six beds in it."
Yep.
And you're like, "We're staying there next time,"
right?
Because I didn't even know it existed. We rolled up on this place by accident. Like looking for a place to turn around, and I was like, "There's a fucking log cabin hotel back yeah. there."
Yep,
dude.
And Daniel Boone slept here.
Yeah.
This year we got to ride the rabbit.
He's the carpet. And you're like, I will stay in a place like that. And we pulled in, and the lady's like, "Well, yeah, we don't get too many people staying down here because we don't advertise and whatever, and we don't have any Wi-Fi and all this stuff." And I was like, but you have a bar.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, we have a great bar."
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, "And you have a restaurant." And she goes, "Oh, the restaurant overlooks the mountains and the gorge and the whole deal." And I was like, how are there not 70 fucking Jeeps out here right now? Because it was on a path that was a mm-hmm. like a BLM path where we're watching Jeeps all day long, you know.
It's just probably lesser known. They don't have like...
fucking crazy.
You know, social media.
Oh, I dropped a pin in it, and if we're ever in that part of the world, like, I know that's where we're going.
Yeah.
You know, it's, what, fucking 15 miles from Tapico. So you're like, yeah, that's great.
I thought one of the best hotels that we stayed at when we were in Utah, it was built into the side of this wall, and like, the parking lot was here, and then there's the river right next to you. Remember that?
It was San Juan or something?
Yeah, San Juan. By Mexican Hat?
Yeah.
And it literally, like, was built in the side of this mountain, and the views were gorgeous. There wasn't many people there. They had like a nice little breakfast area with a bar and like a little general store. And Mr. Dave, you know, he I want ice cream. I go, Dave, you know, they got ice cream bars in the front lobby thing. Right. Really? You know, ran down there and grabbed an ice cream. He's got to have ice cream. But it's some of those little off the beaten path places you find that's just like, man, this makes it so much better. Like, I don't want to stay at this big, you know, $200-$300 a night. I want to stay at the like primitive. Well, here's your bathroom. Here's a bar of soap. That's it.
Even that super cruddy hotel we stayed at, you'll remember that one. You won't remember like the Days Inn we stayed at or the Holiday Inn. Oh, yeah. Whatever. Because they're just very forgettable. Well, but the really bad ones or the really unique ones are the ones you'll remember.
I will say that our first hotel, and I asked Dave, I said, why did we stay here? He goes, well, the guy, you know, did the map, said this is a reputable hotel. I said, maybe 30 years ago it was. And I have video right outside of our room,
yeah,
right across the parking lot, was a stack of mattresses.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a right bunch here of furniture. And in our room had brand new, that fake hardwood flooring, yeah. Yeah. But going from the room into like the bathroom,
right,
was still the tack strip from like the carpet. You could, yeah, tell they just ripped it out because, yeah, I got a picture of the tack strip. It's nasty
with all the barbs.
They didn't even take that out. Like, you could have stepped on it. And, you know, I think they had a bed bug infestation.
They probably did.
Yeah, because there's a stack of mattresses.
Yeah, they probably had to gut.
They ripped all the carpet out, and there was only a few. Like, we were trying to get two rooms next to each other, so we could park the bikes. You know, we were locking up Mark's bike to someone's bike. You know, so because this is real light. You know,
you guys were the first couple of guys in the long time didn't get scabies when you left.
I just was like, Pete goes,
now scabies free.
Pete goes, check the bed for bed bugs. And okay, I was like, yeah, I ripped it all apart. I didn't see nothing. Yeah. I was like, this is just a place to lay my head. That's all I'm doing. You know, like, it was nasty.
I've gone out. I brought my bike in the room.
Yeah.
Went out and got my sleeping bag, wrapped myself up in the sleeping bag on top of the bed because I'm just not going to trust anything in that room. There's no way I'm going to trust anything.
I pulled everything off the bed. I didn't want to put my legs underneath the blankets.
Right.
And Pete goes, you know, if you have these little dot on your arm, that's bed bugs. And I go, yeah, I'm not getting to that point where I'm like, hey, what is this on my arm?
Yeah.
Like, I don't. Yeah. If I see one, I'm sleeping outside.
We've had people who their trip ruined on the first night.
Yeah.
First night of a trip, get bed bugs, and are ruined for the whole rest of the goddamn trip. Everything's miserable after that. Plus, also, then you got to quarantine that guy.
Right.
Because now, promise me you don't have them on you.
Yeah,
no way. Or your $600 climb jacket.
Or your jacket. Yeah. Next to my jacket in the restaurant, right? Your helmet that's next to my helmet in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Fuck, now we all got cooties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Like little things like that when you're traveling. James got really sick one time. Super, super sick. Super duper sick. Major fever.
Uh-huh.
Well, guess who got sick the next day? I did.
Yeah.
So he was miserable for like 2 days before the trip, and he was still miserable going into the trip, but he was coming out of it. Well, no, I got super sick right second day, third day into the trip. I got super sick for the next 4 days. And he's like, ah, fuck, man. And
you guys are making me itchy, man.
It was so bad in our room, and I have the pictures to prove it, that so when we were riding down, and this was the first stop, and it started to rain a little bit. So my jacket's wet, you know, some of my stuff was wet. I'm like, well, I'm going to turn on the heater and then put my jacket on the coat or my coat on the chair and put that right in front of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I could show you a picture. The vents literally look like, it's hard to explain, but like mucus.
Cobwebs.
Cobwebs, mucus, and like dirt and grime. Like, I didn't want to turn it on, but I'm like... You know,
looked like a furnace filter that you hadn't changed in like six months, and you had like 12 cats in the house or something. That's what it looked like.
Hey, reconning where you're going to be staying is a big, big deal. We've stayed in spots where people are like, no, it's a good spot. Really, I vouch for that place. And we get there and we're like, no, there's bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
Like, there's one towel per room. And you're like, there's four of us, and there's one towel in the room. Yeah, that's your room towel.
I walked into Dave and Mark's room just to see if it was as bad as mine and Pete's.
Right.
And I looked over, and in mine and Pete, I wanted to hang up my jacket.
Right.
There was one coat hanger that didn't have a hook on it. they had like 6 coat hangers that were fine. They're saying like that's how bad our room was. And it was like potato bugs that were smashed on the wall. Like no one cleaned it off. the toilet was dirty. It was so bad.
This is like, what
I wanted to go ask for my money back, but I'm like, it's part of the adventure.
I'll try to get a hotel every like third night. So I'll do 2 nights no hotel, and then third night I'll get a hotel.
Yeah.
And so that way you get the shower, you know, you can get a good breakfast or whatever you can. And so I'll usually have 2 nights no hotel, but then third night I'll do something like a Hampton. So I know there's a breakfast involved. Hamptons usually have washer and dryers there, so if you need to get your stuff dried out.
I'll tell you, you don't have to stay at the Hampton to partake of the breakfast at the Hampton.
Parking lot at Hampton. that's part of my 2-in-1 rule. Make sure the day that you're staying at the Hampton, make sure you make an impression on everybody that works there. Yeah. So they're used to seeing your face.
I love the story on the way down. Pete was telling how he was in Vegas and he infiltrated some breakfast at some hotel. He dressed up like
Caesars.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm not paying for breakfast. I'm just going to walk behind these guys and follow them into this. And it was some kind of what?
It was like a software conference.
He's like, I just walked in and was like on my phone and I just walked by and said, hey, you know.
Right.
Kept walking.
Oh, yeah.
Like everyone else.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I, you know, it had been raining for a couple of days, and it took me a couple of days to discover that some of the nicer hotels, they actually have boot dryers in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's called a blow dryer.
Yeah.
And you can run 2 at one time if you're good. Mm-hmm. Until they pop.
Right, but that you got to run them at the low heat.
Yeah, run them
at
very low heat.
And maybe suspend them slightly above the opening of the boot, and then you'll be good.
Yeah, every place I've ever skied in, every place I've ever snowboarded in, we're like, first thing we go in, I'm like, Merritt, check blow dryers.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're good to go.
Yeah,
that's cool. We're good.
The one,
we will need that.
The one day when it was raining, I'm pretty sure it was Saturday, I'd worn these boots, my riding boots in Utah, never had a problem with them. And we're riding and it was raining. It wasn't raining like crazy, but the water was kicking up, you know, and it was kicking out of my boot. I'm like, why does my foot feel weird? It feels like wet or cold, you know? And I looked down, and the rubber that went up the front had separated from my boot, so water was just getting in.
Ah, crap.
And needless to say, when we got back to the truck and the trailer, I just threw the boots out. I'm like, I'm getting new boots.
Yeah.
You know, these are had it, you know?
It's done. Bad gear. Catches up to you eventually.
Yeah.
Yep. That'd be good shit. All right, that's it, man. Anybody got anything else?
Wait for a bridge to pee.
They always just
wait for a bridge to pee.
The more important thing is,
if there's no bridges, hold it in.
Sleepy, you got a joke since Chris is here?
Pee in the middle of the bridge.
Pee
in the middle of the bridge.
No joke.
Best advice I can give. I swear by
it. The guests are supposed to bring a joke.
Yeah. We don't need to have a joke. If you haven't booked your camping for Mid-Ohio yet, good idea to do it. People are already starting to complain about like, well, you know, we couldn't get a camp spot. We couldn't get this. We couldn't get that. Just fucking book it, okay? Book it.
I mean, you know, there's a bunch of people that when they go to Mid-Ohio, they'll camp up in the parking lot.
Yes,
absolutely. You know, you could do that. I mean, they're not going to kick you out.
They don't. You know. And ultimately, if you want a real camping spot,
right,
just get it early.
Well, even tent camping.
There aren't any real camping spots.
Right, yeah, that's the point. The point is nobody's going to say you're in spot number Q38.
Right.
It's luck of the draw.
Where they have those you know, posts and they have numbers, they say you're actually supposed to put that number on your pass and then put that pass in your window.
That's what they tell
you. How many have you ever seen do that? Never.
The closer you are to the Kentucky corner, the less they care.
Oh, that's also true. They're fucking terrified.
I think once you pass where it says tent camping, you're at your own risk. Yeah. You know?
Patty from New Jersey has hate mail.
Brief.
Okay. Patty, he says, quick bone to pick with you. Not all V4s are shit to have. I didn't say they were shit to have. I said they're shit to work on.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, when you have them and they're new, they're fucking amazing.
Right.
But don't lapse, right? Don't lapse on the maintenance. 2000 VFR 800.
Thank you, Mr. O Furniture.
Right. Yeah. 2000 VFR 800. I put 60,000 miles on one in 3 years.
Yeah.
That's moving.
Oh, I love the VFRs.
Best damn scratcher tour I ever rode. It got away when I sold it for a sumo and planned on buying another. Rare as a grumpy sewer guy 5-star review now. Yeah. Those 800 Interceptors
were God's
motorcycle.
I had to send one to Copart one time, and I was really not happy about that.
Fine bike, no problem at all. Now, remember, that was 2008.
Yep.
That's fucking 20-some years ago now.
Yep.
Yeah. Your math's a little fuzzy, but...
Right one? Yeah, right? Yeah. It's getting close.
That's why Renee hands all the finance.
Right, it's getting close. 16 years old. The rubber in the car boots is now made of mahogany.
Yep.
Right. So it's not going to be the fun thing. You're like, I got a great deal on a VFR 800. I'm sure you did get a great deal on a VFR 800. Let me guess. It's not running right. No, it's not. It's not running right. Just needs a carb clean.
Just sure needs a carb clean.
Just you'll be fine. Nothing wrong with that.
I love all the ads that say, 5-minute carb clean job. All right, then why don't you do it? I'll give you a couple extra $100 for the bike.
I would literally pay somebody else to do carburetors for me if
selling a bike with a broken frame all week. I mean, a bike with a bent frame all week.
Yeah.
All week long. 4,000 fucking Facebook Marketplace messages. What will it cost to fix the frame? I have no idea.
Yeah.
What's a Super 8 go for these
point
days?
Being, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
At no point did I say I was going to do it. It's got a bad frame. It's your party now.
It will cost you $3,250.
There you go.
Well, and you get a brand new one and the stoner bike.
I'll make it like brand new.
I'll make it like brand new.
It's funny you said that about the like frames. We had a member at the garage that had a Road King. I don't want to say it was like a 2014, maybe 16.
Yeah, same as mine, yeah.
And this lady had bought it, and I think it was our first big bike. You know, it was gorgeous, green, like a hunter green and black. Beautiful. Yeah. She crashed it. And the freeway bar got bent back on because she laid it down on the right hand side. And she had it at the garage. I think it was above her pay grade. She didn't want to try and fix it. She said, after a year of storage, she said, because Brian said, hey, are you going to do anything with this bike? You know, we just keep moving it around. You're paying storage.
And it weighs 870 pounds.
Right. I mean, it was running. It was just the whole side was kind of messed up and the freeway bar was mashed this way. And so she goes, can you just take it to Rock and Roll Harley on 150th? I'm just going to have them fix it. Okay. So we load it up in the truck, take it down there, right? We show up before she shows up.
Right.
Go to the service manager. Yeah, we're here to drop off this bike. And he goes, we don't know anything about it. She shows up and is just like, yeah, can you guys fix this?
Oh,
like she didn't plan anything,
she
right?
She went in cold.
She went in cold. Wait. And the guy goes, is this an insurance claim? And she goes, no, I'm just going to pay for it. And the guy, but previous to her getting there, we're looking at the bike.
Yeah.
And the guy looks at it. And I said, yeah, you know, this is, he goes, this might be totaled.
Yeah.
And I said, it doesn't look bad. He goes, no. The freeway bar is bent.
Yeah.
If they can't attach the new one like straight where it attaches to the frame at the top underneath the gas tank, if that's bent, if the frame's bent,
throw it away.
You need a new frame.
Absolutely.
You need a whole new frame if you can't attach the freeway bar to the frame. I go, yeah, but that's not important. I go, it doesn't matter. It's not safe. If that mount is twisted a little bit and you can't mount it, new frame time. I don't think this lady knew what she was getting into. We haven't heard.
I assure you.
Me and Brian said, here's your bike. And we got in a truck and peeled out.
Yeah.
Thanks for your storage fee. And
rock and roll
you
problem
deal with it.
Now.
Yeah.
Right. These guys literally were like, they were like looking at each other like, is this really happening? Like, she's just no insurance? Like,
oh no.
She wants us to
fix
this thing?
You know what she's
thing?
Doing right now? So how much is it? Full coverage? Full coverage? That's great. Yeah. Because we've had a lot of people pull that shit where they're like, oh, yeah. So I'm like, no, it's the frame's twisted. It's fucked. You're a whole new motorcycle.
She crashed the bike. I want to say it was like a year and a half
ago. Well.
So it's like.
Did she have insurance then?
She probably did, but she didn't file a claim.
Exactly.
So how do you file a claim a year and a half? I don't think you can, right?
So what these guys do is they'll get insurance now.
Yeah.
And they'll keep the policy for like 3 months.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden,
claim it.
They'll claim that they tipped over in a parking lot.
I just thought it was crazy. I'm like, well, maybe you just don't need to put a crash bar on this thing. And the frame's fine. They're like, if we're certifying the Harley, it's fixed and it's not straight.
If it was us at Mid-Ohio, tie-down strap.
Yeah.
Tie-down strap, ratchet strap. Clickety, 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 clickety. Yeah. Does that look good? Give it 3 more clicks. Click, 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 click. Fucking straight as an arrow.
Our buddy Johnny works wonders with a come-along and some cables.
Oh, Johnny's an artist when it comes to come-alongs. He's like, no, we need a little more angle. Just
absolutely.
A little more angle. Go a little higher up on that telephone pole. Mm-hmm. All right. And then we're going to strap the back of the bike to this pole over here.
But man, when people know how to do that shit and get the angles right, it's fucking amazing. Oh, yeah. Like you sit there and it goes, and like they pull and it goes right back straight.
Yeah, there was never anything there.
Yeah.
Except for it's a little weaker now.
Maybe a little bit.
It's already a mild steel.
It's mild.
I'm just saying though,
that's why you don't want any of that brittle steel.
Yeah, the dudes that know the right angles, it's amazing because like you're looking at it, it's like he's gonna pull it the wrong way.
Oh, I had
but then the metal slides out and then, you know, it's fucking crazy how it works.
I had a dude try to buy that bike and say, well, I'm going to take it down to DNS Collision.
Yeah.
Like the guy that fixes, you know, brand new cars is going to want to talk about a 155cc scooter.
Right.
No fucking way. Yeah. No, he's going to do the same thing I'm going to do. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So that was it.
So beat it, punk.
Get your car jack out in a 2x4. Put it in
there. I promise you.
Get it close and enjoy.
Right. Yeah, we've all straightened shit out.
Have you ever tried straightening out CT70 bars? Most of the times they drop and they get bent in because there's no cross member. Right. Yeah. Now you can heat it up, but you're always going to get that little twist at the bottom. It's
going to get a pinch at the bottom.
It's never going to be perfectly round.
It's going to get a pinch at the bottom.
You know, I don't care how good you are. It's never going to be right.
I've had so many motorcycles that I could ride perfectly well with one hand a little higher than the other hand.
Right.
And just totally fucking got used to it. She's like, that's just the way this is.
It's like that Japanese dude on the servo track.
I've had it. It's like, there's no problem.
No.
And they're like, no, the fucking the handlebars
are bent. My Super Rock has a bent bar on it. And I'm like, I don't think I wouldn't be comfortable if it was straight.
Right. You're so used to it.
For so fucking long.
Yep. And then we've also done the Mid-Ohio fixes where we're just like, okay, well, you know, hey, can you do me a favor? You three guys hold on to my bike.
Stand on this.
Yeah. Well, stand on this.
Stand on this.
Hey, check it out. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, last year we were in Utah. Remember we ran into those other guys out there and they were straightening that bars out with it. They found like a big piece of fence post and they were
Big piece of galvanized fence post. Yeah. We have one at the shop. It's about 4 feet long. Straightens any handlebar on the planet.
We were leapfrogging these guys. We'd pass them, then they'd pass us, and we finally caught up to them at this wayside. One guy had it off on his bike or something, and he had the handlebars all twisted up. But they got it straight, and we saw him down the road again later.
Yeah, that's what you do, man. That's what you do. All right, that was my hate mail. I got it. That was a podcast. I'm going to call it. I'm going to pronounce this one done. If anybody has any suggestions that they want to do, themes for the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride.
Ooh.
Because right now, based on too many drinks at Porco last night, we've come up with a theory. I was halfway into my third
drink.
Roman twist with the Jamaican.
I closed with a
Jamaican washer.
What's
wrong with
that? I know, right?
like it's last callish, and I was like, zombie.
No. Everybody walked out of the bar, and I went, I should probably go home. And you were still talking.
I rode a Vespa there.
Yeah.
It was cold.
Yeah.
I rode a Vespa with a hula skirt, right?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't wearing the hula skirt. The bike's got a hula skirt. But I rode there, and I was like, in the spirit of the whole thing. And I was dressed for the weather. I had gloves on. And
clothes.
The whole thing. Mm-mm. And you know what? By the time I got home to my house at 1 something in the morning in a different county, I was cold.
Yeah.
I was cold. And I was at full, the bike was at full chat. I can tell you exactly, 67.5 miles per hour in a tuck.
Yeah.
In a perfect tuck. I took the windshield off the bike 3 days ago because it's summer now.
No.
It's fuck dumb. Me running. Dumb. Stupid.
It's supposed to snow Sunday.
Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the idea. Start at Skidmark because we have to.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
been working well. So we start at Skidmark. Yay. And then we go out to Lorain. We've never done this before.
Yeah.
But we go out to Lorain and we go to Speak of the Devil.
Okay.
And we do some Speak of the Devil stuff there, you know, kind of, you know, get the bikes all together because it's not a short ride. It's a pretty medium ride for a DGR.
Uh-huh.
And then from Speak of the Devil is when the magic happens. That's when we leave that place. Now, this is all voluntary. None of this is mandatory. There will be three groups. I wouldn't call them classes, but some people might.
Sure.
You know, the 150cc and under group, the 300cc and under group, or 400cc and under group, and then the let's call those the unlimited group, the ones above
open class.
Open sounds good. I like the term open class. Or just say the bigger group. So it's like a small group, a medium group, and a bigger group. And so we're going to say when those groups are going to depart. Because, you know, we want people to have a good time. And then whoever arrives at Porco and gets Renee to sign their...
Like a cannonball?
No, I mean, well, we're more distinguished than a cannonball. So, but you know, the term TT has always meant tourist trophy, but sure. A lot of people have always said that it meant tavern to tavern.
Right.
And I thought, we haven't had some tavern to tavern activity in a long time. Leastwise, not at like 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
Sure.
Seems fun.
Right.
Because like, what happens is every time we do this fucking event anyway, we get to the second bar, and then everyone's like, okay, well, we're going to go to Porco or something like that. And then everyone's like, okay, cool. And like, yeah, well, so we're going to do this route. And everybody just goes, well, fuck the route.
Yeah.
And they all just go as fast as they can.
Sure.
So rather than try to fight that, let's just say,
let's play to our strengths.
That's exactly right. If we're already really good at it. So we just do it that way. And so just make it so that, you know, and we're not saying you have to go fast. I recommend you don't. I recommend you follow the speed limits and posted safety and do the things you're going to do.
Right,
I recommend you do all that.
For
follow
legal policy.
Obey every traffic law.
Of course.
Wink,
but,
wink.
But three people, right? Three people in three, I hate to use the term classes, but are going to get some special prizes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm in.
It's, I think that those people will just be participating a little harder than the rest of us. And they probably deserve that. Well, so
I think to keep it to, you know, make sure that people follow the rules. If you, if you, you took the distance and divided by the time, you know, like maybe special points.
We were considering making it more of a math problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much of a speed. We don't want it to be a speed thing, but more of a math problem.
I mean, you know, like, so the guys that want to do that, you can have a prize for that.
Right.
But then the guys that just got their math wrong and they show up quite a bit earlier.
Yes.
You can just have a prize for that too. Like bad math. Bad math prize.
I'm bad at math.
Right.
I get a very special award for being super bad at math.
Super bad.
I went into a time portal. Okay.
Also
I got there way ahead of everyone else. I'm sorry.
But see, but that way you're not encouraging anything
illegal.
Unfortunate behavior.
If there hadn't been any evidence to the fact that I was actually at the place where we all agreed upon.
Right.
And that arrived at the other place. If there hadn't been witnesses to that effect, you might say I broke a rule.
Here's a twist, too. What if you make a couple of checkpoints along the way?
That's what I was going to say. You'd have to, because if someone with a bigger bike can hit the freeway and be there quicker than someone on a monkey or something like that, have to take back roads.
Absolutely.
You know. Hence the classes.
That's the organizational groups.
Yes.
Yeah, the organization.
If you make the checkpoint, so you have to do some sort of a circuitous or a zigzag route.
So last night, one of the...
Or take a picture of timestamp.
One of the people that came up with it had said, for the unlimited folks, that the unlimited folks would have a couple of checkpoints.
And one of them in Columbus. Like something super far away.
It kind of actually might favor somebody on a smaller piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to
make the checkpoint like Lakewood, you know.
If you're on a smaller machine, well, then you don't have to deal with any checkpoints. Listen, you just gotta
You're on the 800 BMW like him, and I'm on my monkey. And
the
Lakewood
Loop
there.
Was always one of those things. You're like, is it a race? No, it's not a race because these fucking bikes can't break the speed limit anyway.
Nope.
No, we're not breaking any rules because these bikes are ball slow.
Yeah.
And then people started bringing really fast bikes to the Lake Erie Loop. You know, liquid cooled 200 snuck in from Kanuckistan.
Yeah.
Those bikes are run 80 plus, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when Meckelfresh and I were doing it, best day, we're just, you know, breathing on 75 miles an hour.
Right.
And that was enough, you know, nobody was getting a speed ticket.
No.
But yeah, so we're thinking about that. So the idea might be DGR 2024.
We have enough time. We'd have enough time to plan ahead.
Yeah, it's a little bit. Yeah, so,
might be a little bit of the buddy action here too.
TT.
Yeah.
TT.
Yeah.
I'm thinking TT works pretty good. Yeah. TT. And that'll make the patches look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. TT is always everybody likes a nice TT patch. Very cool. All right. Well, that's it. John, you got anything else for us?
Oh no, I was just.
John, would you like to play us out of here? Ride fast, take chances. Hit it, Johnny. Jack.